Comic Timing is proudly sponsored by the New York Comic Con. New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has double the space with more gaming and anime for 2007. Come to the Jacob Javits Center February 23rd to 25th and experience the biggest pop culture event in New York City, featuring comics, anime, manga, graphic novels, video games, trading card games, RPGs, MMOs, toys, movies, TV, celebrities, and more. Guest of honors include Stan Lee, Jeff Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, and George Perez, with many more to be announced. For a complete list of guests, as well as show information, please visit nycomiccon.com. Buy your tickets online now to ensure your spot for the 2007 show. Tickets are available now at a discounted rate for advance purchase at nycomiccon.com. You can also book your travel arrangements online now on the travel page of the website. Don't miss out on the 2007 New York Comic Con. Visit our website to get all the information you need.
Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 29 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as a rotating panel of guests and myself, Ian Levitsy, and discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. Well, last episode we covered the Marvel side, and now it's time for the DC side of 2006. Frank Cassina and Raf Suhu join myself for the conversation this week. It took us forever to do it, but at least it's finally out. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 29 of Comic Timing. This one's being recorded live from my living room, as we've had more problems getting this episode underway than any episode of Comic Timing so far. Isn't that absolutely special? We are joined by Brent Cassina, Nightwing BK on the forums, also BK Bullets. What's going on, Brent?
Nothing much.
Glad to have you on, buddy. Glad to have you on. And we're also joined by another guy who's part of the Raging Bullets fold. He does the Bulleteer Madness column on Raging Bullets, and he is indeed Raf Suhu, and he's joining us by phone. So, Raf, what's up?
Don't ever trust Radio Shack. those freaking salespeople.
So what happened? They convinced you to buy a cheap one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get the circular in the newspaper, you look at it, it's $15, it's Skype compatible, what the hell, you know? Oh, freaking stupid piece of,
Wow.
Two words for you, Best Buy.
Yeah, No. Two words for you, Amazon.
Yeah, definitely going Amazon route.
Yeah, exactly. And only when I say it is Amazon two words. But anyway, we're going to get underway with this episode here. We're talking about a year-end wrap-up of DC Comics today, so let's get this underway here. This week, we'll be focusing upon DC Comics in the year 2006. What decisions were you happy with? What decisions left you feeling let down? Which books delivered and which books disappointed? Has 52 achieved what it needed to achieve in 2006? And do you feel 1 year later has validated its worth in the DC universe? Which title left you anticipating 2007 the most? And finally, what are you looking forward to the most out of DC in 2007? Let your voice be heard, and we'll discuss your post on the show. And I guess we'll go with Phone Boy first. Raf, what was your favorite moment of 2006 for DC?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No, seriously, I think that overall, DC's been doing great this year. I mean, in terms of the movies, I mean, Superman finally came out. 52 has just been, like, a publishing marvel, no pun intended. Also, the execution with all of that, and these new series that are coming out, it's all been great for me.
Yeah, so pretty much they've been delivering on all cylinders so far, Raf, right? I mean, they did pretty much everything you wanted them to do in 2006?
You know, maybe not everything, but just they've hit enough for me not to bitch about them like I would have about Marvel last week.
Well, I'm glad that we didn't have you on for that episode, because I think we did enough bitching for everybody.
Oh, yeah. No, that's enough.
Yeah. Brent, what about you? What was your favorite moment of 2006 for DC?
52, not missing a beat, my favorite moment. Just proving that it can be done, and done well.
Any other things stick out in your mind? Or
I think the revitalization of their two main characters, Batman and Superman. Mm-hmm. I think the Wonder Later story arcs really reestablished them in their own right. And I would have said Wonder Woman if we had that story arc done.
Yeah.
But seeing that as we're only three issues in, it's too early to say. Although I do think that story arc is going to do great wonders for Wonder Woman If only it was over.
Well, yeah, no. By 2009, we'll definitely be done with Alan Heinberg's storyline, I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, by then, we'll have every answer we possibly wanted to know about Wonder Woman and more, but the fact that we're going to have to wait that frickin' long to get it out just proves they really shouldn't go to Hollywood to get their writers.
Or just Alan Heinberg.
Yeah, or at least just Alan Heinberg, yeah, definitely.
And Damon Lindelof, we can stay away from him, too.
Jeez, but that was last week.
But we talked about him last week.
Exactly. We don't really need to get more into that now. But I'd actually say one of my favorite moments of 2006 was just Infinite Crisis as a whole. I love how that has been delivered, and I love how, you know, how they set out to make something that was sort of like a sequel to Crisis on Infinite Earths, but really stood on its own, and they wanted to follow it up and actually make it, like, a cohesive unit, you know, like, make every story flow into the next, flow into the next, flow into the next. 1 year later worked so well, and I'd say pretty much a combination of the end of Infinite Crisis, which, you know, had its soft moments, as I discussed in the past, but it pretty much delivered at this point for DC. That end, leading into 1 year later and 52, has been my favorite moment of 2006 as a whole, pretty much.
Well said.
Thank you.
You made Sean cry.
that was more Vince than me, but that was that's later on. That's in part two of the episode you haven't listened to yet. But
I'll get there.
Yeah, exactly. What was your biggest surprise of 2006? What did you really not see coming that really, you know, left you really, really shocked on the floor? We'll start with you, Brent.
Biggest surprise for me was the reveal of the villains in Infinite Crisis. Superboy Prime going absolutely insane in number four. Just like a big, huge surprise, and seeing him not be in control of his power, not be like Darkseid or the Anzo, familiar characters being villains was really a big shock.
You know, actually, my biggest surprise is something that you really, I guess, it depends on like what you consider a surprise, really, whether you consider inside the universe or in the, you know, in the actual publishing of it. But I'm actually really surprised that we still have Manhunter right now, because they canceled Manhunter outright, and the fact that fans basically brought that back, all those letters that were written in, and they realized what they had on their hands here that could really, you know, balloon into something big, really made me very happy. That was my biggest surprise in 2006, that Manhunter is, you know, continued to run and is now, you know, obviously still being published by DC Comics, because I thought that we were just dead and buried with that title and just would never see it again. What about you, Raph? What biggest surprise moment?
Spider-Man and Man... Oh, wait, wrong universe. no, actually, there's been a few of them, but it's all in 52. I mean, you know, like, you got all these, like, C and D list characters that you've kind of heard of, and those guys have made you really care about them. I mean, spoiler alert, but the Question's fate at the end of the last week's issue, and I had this little tear rolling down my cheek. All those little moments in 52 have been incredible. And with World War III coming out, I'm, you know, that's really got me going right now with that series.
Oh, no question. I mean, they've pretty much delivered on every single level of that. I mean, they make you care about characters that on a regular basis you would not give like two shits about. And the fact that they're able to do that with, you know, B, C, and even, like, F-list characters at times, you know, really proves that they're doing something right here. I mean, having so many great writers on it at the same time is really a great idea on their part. I mean, Brent, for you, I mean, 52 has been delivering on all levels, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, I thought Ambush Bug was a great moment in the series, seeing as how I never read him before, and he just turned out to be one of my favorite parts so far.
Oh, hell yeah. 52! 52!
Oh yeah, my shirt is a clue. What'd you say? Nothing.
That's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Well, I like how they pretty much went with the idea that he can see outside the lines. You know, that he's just so absolutely crazy that he's breaking the fifth wall, basically. You know, and just continues to do so on a regular basis. It works great for the character, and I'm glad to see him in there. Plus, Lobo has been a great treat as well, because I love seeing like religious Lobo. Complete switch of the character right there. So
I thought we'd be sick of him by now, but they're really not playing up his like old persona. He's kind of a different character.
Yeah, he's really
like he still wants to kill people, but he's mellowed out.
Yeah, no, I'm just agreeing with Brent. I mean, Lobo used to be, you know, I can kill half the frag in DCU. Now he's more of this like he's a little more subdued. I'm actually kind of waiting to see him unleash himself on Lady Six. Yeah. 86.
Yep.
I hope I'm getting that right.
I hope you're getting that right, and also at the same time, I think he wants to unleash on her, but, you know, knowing Lobo, not only would he unleash on her, but he would quote-unquote unleash on her, if you know what I mean.
Yes, he would.
Jeez. We'd have a lot of mini Lady Sixes running around if he had his way, but that's another story for another time, which probably won't ever be told in DCU, but, you never know, especially with Lobo.
In an Elseworlds comic.
Oh, God.
Lobo and Lady Six.
Get it on.
Just get it on. Yeah. I have the Barry White playing, and then you never know what's going to happen.
That was Marvin Gaye, not Barry White.
Who cares? Barry White, Marvin Gaye. Just get somebody with a deep voice playing, and that's all you need. Get James Earl Jones playing, and they'll make a sweet, sweet love to that. So
I'm your father, baby. Yeah.
I'm your father, bitch.
Okay, all right. That's another universe, all right?
Don't you know who I am?
Oh, jeez. Let's go into the...
I'm the juggernaut,
damn,
bitch.
Charles. I'm going to throw you out, Charles. I'm going to hit you with your own pimp. Anyway.
We're
ready to... See, this episode of Comic Time is going to be a little weird, considering the fact that like we restarted like 4 times, guys, just to let everybody know out there in like listener land. So that's why we're out of our freaking minds right now. But let's go into the movies a little bit, because obviously we had some great movies that came out this year that were DC-related, specifically Superman Returns. And, I mean, that delivered on all levels for me. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I feel that definitely was an experience that I would love to relive on DVD once I actually get a hold of it. But I feel it was the perfect movie that could have came out in 2006 for DC and really revived their franchises a bit. But I forget, was Batman Begins 2005 or 2006?
That was last year.
Yeah. Okay, well, I can't consider that then. But did the DVD come out this year?
Batman?
Yeah,
last
Batman
year.
Begins.
Last year was around Halloween.
All right. Never mind, but yeah, nevertheless, though, Superman Returns did do a good job of actually continuing, like, the revitalization, as it were, but we need to see more DC titles out there. You know, don't just do Batman, Superman. We got to see that Wonder Woman movie finally and get some other DC titles out there that would make decent movies and get them out there, you know? Because one movie a year for DC, it's doing a good job, but I'd like to see more than just that.
Yeah, when Marvel's pumping out 5.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you got to catch up.
But Fantastic Four is competing with Spider-Man there. I mean, I don't know how, you know, that's a smart idea either. Maybe you want to do, like, maybe 2 or 3 a year, maybe not, like, 5.
Yeah, it's a good idea, but you still got to get to 2 or 3. That's the thing. You know, the fact that they're only on 1 a year right now.
I think their next big franchise could be Green Lantern, mm-hmm. for real. Because you could have, you know, you could have a Hal Jordan movie, and if that star doesn't want to come back, you move on to the next guy. A Jon Stewart movie, a Guy Gardner movie. And then, you know, you could start out with 5 different actors, have it being an ensemble piece, and then branch off.
As long as Jack Black doesn't do out on Green Lantern.
Jack Black could be Gnort or something.
Yeah.
I could sort of see that.
Yeah, you know, just put the makeup on him, props. CG, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. I don't want to see him playing, like, Kyle, which was the original rumor, that he'd be playing Kyle. You know, you can't make that character silly because of how much evolution he's had since the 90s. If you go back and make him, like, this, you know, like, just starting out guy again, it's really not going to work.
Yeah, no,
the only real Green Lantern I can see Jack Black is his Guy Gardner. Yeah. Jack Black is Guy Gardner. Maybe.
That may be, yeah. I can see that. He'd have to get the bowl cut.
Oh, jeez. Worst hair decision in the history of DC Comics, and yet they still freaking have it. You know? I mean, it's like, dear God, go to a freaking barber already.
Well, what about long-haired Superman in the late 90s? I wasn't a big fan of that.
No, Mullet Man. You gotta say it right.
Yeah, Mullet Man. Mullet Man.
Super Mullet!
How do you defeat Super Mullet? With Super Mullet Kryptonite.
With Super Scissors.
Yeah, scissors with kryptonite on the tips. There you go. But, I mean, what did you guys, for a quick, you know, wrap-up of it, I guess, for the movies at least, what did you guys think about Superman Returns? Was it a good way to revitalize the DC's, you know, movie market, or did it not, you know, connect nearly as well as you did? I mean, I know that Raph has seen it, like, what, 6 times, Raph, or?
Yeah, 6 times, not including the DVD set.
Okay, yeah, so obviously you enjoyed it.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And you told a story in one of your columns about running into somebody, right?
Yeah, I bumped into now associate editor Janine Schaefer at the movie theater at Union Square 14th Street here in New York.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, her Yeah, her mom didn't like me. It was the third time I'd seen it, and it was Wednesday, which is and you know the line where he goes, "Well, I hope this doesn't put any of you off flying." And I'm repeating it line for like word for word, and she goes, "Could you please be quiet? Could you not ruin my fanboy moment? Thank you." But anyway, it's okay. I forgive her. She's the motherfucking editor at DC. Whatever.
I guess she's just not used to fanboys.
Yeah, us fanboys with our Superman T-shirts and our Superman fake tattoos and our Superman glasses. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But here's the question. I mean, did it revitalize a franchise, or was it just one movie that?
Well, for me, it's a mixed bag because I thought it was a great movie. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on in there. And I really enjoyed it, but I mean, it made $200 million, which isn't a bad amount. But you know, I was hoping for like 300, maybe. You know, it was a great start, and I hope that they go in the direction that I've heard Bryan Singer's going in. But it just, I mean, in terms of box office, it didn't do it for me.
Brent, what about you? I mean, do you feel it achieved what it should have achieved?
To me, Superman Returns didn't do what it should have done. To me, Superman Returns was just an ass kiss to Richard Donner from Bryan Singer. You know, like, there was so much in that movie that was, you know, a tribute or stolen or whatever. A lot of it felt like it was recycled. And the only thing new there was, you know, Superman's kid and the actors that were in it were the only things new. Everything else was the same. So if you're trying to revitalize a franchise, I think they needed a new score or something in different title credits, you know, that it just, to me, that was like the pinnacle of the ass kissing. You know, you have the same title credits. That just annoyed me. Give me something new. I know those are classic and people are yawning at me right now, but to me, that just brought it all back to the, you know, to the old movies, and I was comparing it to the old movies from that point on. So to me, like, the way to revitalize the franchise was Batman Begins, because we took it in a whole new direction. Whether it was an origin story or not, Superman Returns didn't do the same thing for comic fans or movie people that Batman Begins did. I mean, Batman Begins, it came out and people were like, oh my god, this was a great movie, and it's a comic book film, and the word of mouth just spread like wildfire. And with Superman, you know, it had been so over-promoted and so saturated that I think a lot of people just didn't give a shit. Did you walk out of Superman Returns going, oh my god, that's a great movie, and everyone around you, you know, had that same feeling?
Definitely not.
Because I certainly didn't feel that in my movie theater. But in Batman Begins,
yeah,
everyone came out of that movie saying, oh my god.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I mean, they could have gone newer. You know, I mean, they didn't really have to go nearly as Donner as they did. Obviously, it was a tribute, but at the same time, if you want to tribute him, you know, go out and buy the Donner cut. That is the ultimate Donner tribute right there. You didn't have to really do that in Superman Returns, but they did, and they're going to have a lot of trouble making a sequel to this, specifically with what they introduced in that movie, because it's hard to make a second Superman movie with something like that.
See, like, even using the same set design or whatever, I mean, that's fine because I understand that they want it to have the same continuity as the old movies. And besides the fact that Superman didn't do shit, you know, he didn't punch a single thing, and I know a lot of people have said that. My also major complaint with the movie is, how can Superman lift an island of kryptonite? Yeah. An island of kryptonite. He should not have been able to even get underneath the thing without dying. And I know he flew up into the sun and recharged or whatever, but I only realized that when someone told me. You know, watching the movie for the first time, it was not clear that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
With that huge thing of kryptonite, it should have drained all the power he had stored in him. Doesn't make sense for me.
As the world's second Superman fan next to Matthew Guy, you know, the whole thing isn't made of kryptonite. It's like maybe like 20% kryptonite.
It was like 70% or 60%. It wasn't 20. It was more than 20%.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the magic of movie. Like a movie!
All right, look, you know what? No, you can't force somebody to like a movie, and that's the problem with DC. Because
yeah, no. I've beaten enough people.
They wanted to get the older audiences to like it. Well, guess what? They got the people who really enjoyed the original Superman movies to like this. The problem is, to get new people into it, to get the teenagers into it, to get the even younger than that into it, to reference a movie that came out over 20 years ago, what are you trying to do there?
Yeah, I gotta admit, I've been a super, you know, I grew up on a Christopher Reeve movie, so, you know, I have the background
sure.
Going into this movie of, you know, I love the originals. So yeah, I do agree with you guys on that. I'm just like, have you read the Bryan Singer interviews where he wants to go like Wrath of Khan and Empire Strikes Back with the second movie? That's what's got me going for the next movie, because if he's saying that stuff, I'm optimistic.
Well, why didn't he do that with this one?
I don't want to see Zod,
because I don't want to see him in the comics now. You know, Richard Donner's in the comics writing Zod. That's not a surprise for me. That's, to me, I mean, I'm excited that he has a son, even though it's the same movie, same thing as the movie, but I don't want to see Zod. I want to see something different, and neither of them are delivering for me right now.
Well, Donner's actually going to do his take of Superman 3 after this Zod arc. I think what they're doing basically is, since the first movies were such a great movie, you know, they were great movies, and, you know, they want to work off of that. Meanwhile, Batman, I mean, I love the Tim Burton movies, but they weren't really, you know, like, the true Batman story. You know, Batman Begins, for me, was the first true Batman movie.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Superman's best movie is, you know, 30 years ago. Yeah. I mean, can you do about that?
You try to make something better than that.
You try harder, yeah.
You really didn't do that.
Less ass-kissing and more originality would have made that movie better.
What do you guys want to see out of DC's movie department in 2007? I mean, obviously, I'd like to at least see a trailer for Wonder Woman, even if we're not going to get the movie. I'd like to see Wonder Woman announced. How about that? We don't even have that yet. We don't even know who the hell Wonder Woman's going to be yet. Yeah.
Cast.
You know, I mean, we got to get something out of DC, at least in 2007. One movie. Give me one movie that I can go and see, and I'll have faith in the fact that DC is going to continue to make good movies for the next couple of years, but you got to have at least one per year.
Well, you're not going to get a DC movie in 2007, I don't think, because the only one in production next is Wonder Woman.
Yeah, which is a real shame when you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they have so many potential things that are just not ready yet.
Well, The Dark Knight is in production, but that's 2008.
And also Watchmen is in production, but that's technically Vertigo, so.
That's just been announced.
Yeah, been, like, in the works for how long?
Exactly. Yeah. Because you don't really know whether or not that's actually going to continue to happen, so... Ugh. And I'd rather not see a Watchmen movie, but that's just me. I mean, Raph, what do you want to see out of the movie department in 2007?
Well, I mean, they've got those animated DVDs that are coming out with The Death of Superman. That'll be okay for me, but really, I'd like to hear them, like, greenlight some more stuff. You know, get the Big Seven out there. You know, maybe not Aquaman. You know, like Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern. These are great heroes. I mean, you don't need to rely on Superman and Batman. Yes, you know, everybody knows them, but you've got all these other great heroes in the DC universe. I mean, with 52, I mean, haven't they proved that they can take anybody and make you care about them? They should do more with this. They're being a little conservative.
I want to see an Aquaman movie. Well, come on, do it. What? Man, make an Aquaman movie like they did on Entourage. You know?
Yeah, that would be fine. Yeah.
Oh God. But anyway, going back to the actual DC universe here for a minute. You talked about 52, and obviously the natural progression from 52 is 1 year later. And I guess it's a good time to ask this because, well, obviously most of the 1 year later titles are well underway now. All of them are pretty much well underway now, except for Wonder Woman. But we're not even going to mention that. What was your favorite 1 year later title in 2006? Which one really, like, jumped out of the bat for you and proved that this is going to be a great title for a while to come now, once that 1 year later gap occurred? I guess I'll start with you, Brent.
The 1 year later titles, well, two of them were my favorite, and that was the Batman books, Face to Face, and the Superman books, Up, Up, and Away. Just the first storyline out of each of those books revitalized the character. Superman got his humanity back. Batman learned how to be nice again, you know. They're better characters for it, and I thought each storyline was great in its own merits, and even though face-to-face, the ending kind of came out of nowhere, you know, the mystery thing, but, you know, as for reestablishing characters, extremely well. The other one that I was really pleased with was, I think, Green Lantern. The first couple, like, you know, the first 10 issues of Geoff Johns' run before 1 year later were kind of like mishmash, you know, some good ones, some not, but I think these last two story arcs, we're actually seeing Geoff Johns do what he does best, which is start weaving storylines in and out with each other and have a huge master plan. Even though we've only gotten like 8 issues this year because of the delays, I still think that's the other title that really jumped out at me, said, this is going to be a great book, stick with me.
Yeah, you know, I actually like all those titles that that Brent mentioned. Batman was great. Superman, I thought that was, like, the greatest Superman story that's been told in, like, ages. Because Superman is such a hard character to write because he's so powerful. He can do anything, you know. How do you write a character like that? And this was just a really great story. We saw who he was without the cape, without the powers, and how he's still a hero despite that. A title Brent didn't mention that I kind of liked was Teen Titans, because I especially liked the Cyborg segments when he was, you know, reviewing the videos and how all the other Titans would come, you know, talk to him even though he wasn't, you know, conscious. That kind of struck a chord with me, and it also gave me a hint as to you know, who joined the team and, you know, where the team was going.
Oh, without a question. That was great stuff.
For me, it's just now picking up with Titans East. Like, the first whole thing with the Doom Patrol, I'm not familiar with the Doom Patrol, and if you listen to BK's Bullets, I got you, ref. That's an old joke. Anyway, it felt like it wasn't reestablishing the team. 2007 will be the year for the Titans with Titans East, and I wish they had, like, bumped that up one. That we could have had it all.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed the Doom Patrol stuff. I mean, it wasn't the best stuff, but it was definitely better than where it was going before that. Like, it went up to it nicely, and then with 1 year later, we got all those mysteries as to, you know, why these characters are here, you know, what the hell happened to Kid Devil to make him into this devil character, what is Deathstroke's daughter doing on the team, all this stuff that we really needed answers to, and we got eventually with the book. So I definitely say that Teen Titans was one of my favorite 1 year laters. Superman 1 year later, also great. However, immediately after Up, Up, and Away was done, we got some subpar arcs, and that's why I was hoping to see that we, like, have continued great Superman, as opposed to just one arc that I liked, and then one that I thought was kind of eh. But I did really enjoy that initial arc. Batman has been great with Paul Dini. He's on the Detective Comics, and Grant Morrison had a great run, obviously, when he first started off there. And we've had wonderful stuff with Face to Face earlier on than that. So Batman and Superman have definitely delivered for me. Teen Titans have delivered. And actually, Green Lantern Corps, I've really been enjoying since 1 year later. And I enjoyed the previous miniseries, but I've been enjoying the current series even more than that. So, yeah, no, there are three titles that I've definitely really been enjoying post, you know, 1 year later that have really been doing great jobs for me. But let's go to the alternate end, though. What about the disappointments that have come out of 1 year later? I mean, I know one right off the bat, obviously Nightwing, which is a major disappointment for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. It's retconned already.
Sad thing is it kind of is retconned already, because you see Jason Todd showing up as Red Hood now in all these comics, and they're kind of ignoring the fact that, you know, he was even in that Nightwing arc in the first place.
Well, see, I didn't have a problem with Jason Todd being Nightwing, even a substitute. You know, if he wanted to be the new Nightwing, they never delved into, like, why he wanted to be Nightwing. He said, you know, maybe we could be family again or something along those lines, but especially the letter turning into the giant pimple monster.
Yeah, what the hell was up with that freaking... That's your villain? You're going to have Nightwing face this thing that transforms you into itself and eats you? I mean...
Well, look, no, we
that?
Know what Nightwing fears the most. Obviously, it's acne.
Back when he was Robin, Joker fooled him by making a comment of acne. Yeah. He wasn't the same again.
Yeah, you know... Yeah, no, I mean, everything makes so much more sense to me now.
So he's afraid of acne because he won't be able to get any?
Ah, come on. He still gets the redheads like everybody, you know? But, no, in all seriousness, though, Bruce Jones was just a bad choice for Nightwing. Because I really have not enjoyed anything Bruce Jones has done, really, since those initial Hulk issues he did for Marvel. And I haven't found much to really make me want to like him. Because he comes onto a character and he completely wants to change them. He never goes with the norm. And after a while, it just gets tiresome.
Yeah, it's a gimmick.
It's a good approach. Okay, it's a cheap gimmick, but, I mean, shouldn't a new writer coming onto a title strive for something different, especially 1 year later? Bruce Jones's run is remembered for being crap, but, I mean, I think that's a good idea to have, is to change something. You don't want to do the same thing over and over again.
Too much, then people are just really not going to like it.
Yeah, you got to keep the core.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the core of the character.
I didn't have a problem with the core of the character that Bruce Jones was writing as much as the plot line. He introduced two villains, you know, the Pierce brothers, who we got no history about, so they did nothing, so they were not effective villains. And then he introduced the Pimple Monster, which totally ruined everything. If he had had a different plot, maybe it would have been better. But I had no problem with the way he wrote Dick Grayson.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're going to change something, you have to, you know, you just can't make the hero the main focus, because, you know, you have to have the background characters, the villains, the girlfriends or whatever, they have to have some, you know, character development, and they didn't have that. That's my gripe. You know, if you're going to change it, make the changes good. Make the changes mean something. Have these characters, you know, give them history, you know? Give them something. And he didn't do that. That's my problem. That was my problem with that run.
There was not one character in that run that screamed out to me, wow, how did Nightwing survive before this character came into his life?
What about Cheyenne? That was the one character from that run that really I kind of latched onto.
She felt a lot like random redhead number 7. You know, I mean, like she felt like she was there as a placeholder and really didn't really grab me too much.
I think she was getting better as a character, and then Marv Wolfman comes on and just wipes the slate.
But no, it was Bruce Jones who wiped the slate even before.
Well, you know, he got rid of her, yeah, but I don't think. I wish they hadn't gotten rid of her.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, well, speaking of disappointments and wiping away stuff, what about The Flash?
Yeah, The Flash, yeah. Okay, you know what? It's had some redeeming factors, okay? I've enjoyed some of what they've been doing with Bart. I'm glad to see Bart, you know, all grown up and taking the role of The Flash. My only issue with this so far is that it's quite possibly the lamest villain I could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
And
yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, if you're going to have a villain for the Flash to be fighting, for me, at least, have him fight an established Flash villain. Don't try and introduce your brand spanking new villain right off the bat. And that's what a lot of the problems with the creators are. They immediately want to bring in a new villain that we've never seen before. Well, who's more threatening to the Flash than his already established rogues gallery? You know, you've got, like, Captain Cold, you've got, you know, like, Mirror Master, those guys, Weather Wizard, that have really always packed a punch. So if you have, right off the bat, a reason for Bart to put on the Flash costume, like, say, Captain Cold going on a rampage, then that's really going to bring me into the character a lot more than random roommate of Bart going cuckoo.
Well, there's a kind of argument to that, because you always hear fanboys complaining, you know, why don't we get new characters, new villains? It's the same villains 24/7.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but for Bart, it would be like a rite of passage, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I beat Captain Cold. I beat Zoom.
Exactly.
That proves
yeah.
I'm a Flash.
Okay.
Meanwhile, his
okay.
roommate who in the first issue wants to, you know, get him laid, and that was like half the first issue. I mean, yeah, that killed it for me. I dropped the book after the first issue.
It actually read a little bit too much like a TV script to me. And I know that they're from TV, so I can understand that, but it did read a bit too much like a TV script to me. Because what are people always trying to do on TV? Get laid.
Yeah, the OC starring Flash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I just do not want to see that.
Isn't that the Rachel Bilson on the OC? The girl that dresses up as Wonder Woman?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Wow, we've made a connection.
A Bilson follows you everywhere.
No, but the first one was bad. The second one got a little better. I thought 3 and 4 really picked up, so I was kind of excited when those came out. 5 was okay, but then 6 is what killed it for me, was just the way they handled the villain's death. You know, Griffin was lame to begin with, I admit. But, you know, and Griffin comes in as, you know, the villain, and they kind of have to avoid each other or something, or some funny dialogue where they're referring to each other in third person. I mean, they could have done something there that made them feel like actual roommates. You know, instead of, hey, bud, you want my other chick for my threesome? Remember that part?
Oh, God. I sort of washed that out of my mind, actually.
But my other major gripe, the Infinite Crisis thing they had number 6, I thought that was terrible. Reading their explanation or whatever, it was totally confusing. The art was confusing as well. It wasn't clear whose ring it was. You know, they said it outright, but it looked different. The fact that they're on a different Earth when in Infinite Crisis, they clearly went into the Speed Force. It just didn't make any sense. I mean, if they had said, okay, we went into the Speed Force, came out on the different Earth, would have cleared that up, that little thing up for me. The other thing that would have cleared it up, maybe some more explanation of how time has passed. What happened to the, I spent 4 years in the Speed Force, you know? They could have had some mention of that. If that last 4 pages felt like they did not read Infinite Crisis at all, and they're trying to shoehorn in their own story from what they understood from what people have told them. You know, what happened to Infinite Crisis with the Flash? Oh, this. Okay, well, now I'll write my story. To me, they didn't read it.
It felt like they read an outline.
Yeah.
You know, like they read the most basic of outlines to try to explain things, and it just, you know, that's not the way to do things.
They read the reviews and forum posts, you know? That's what I felt.
Yeah, they wanted the geeks to be forming and got the cliff notes.
I was just gonna say, yeah, there's a Bill Simmons DeMeo troll out there somewhere on the CGS forums.
Yeah, well, it's not like they're bad writers though. Have you read Red Menace?
I haven't actually.
Wildstorm, I think it is. I haven't read it yet, but I've heard it's really good. So it's not like Bill Simmons and DeMeo are like terrible writers. I think maybe like it got taken out from under them. Maybe they didn't want to do Bart. Maybe they wanted to do Wally or even Barry, and they just said Impulse is the new Flash. Deal with that, you know.
Hmm. It's certainly possible. It's certainly possible. Yeah. But one more bad thing out of 2006 that I wanted to mention: Chaykin's Hawkgirl. Because my main issue with Hawkgirl is that we've always seen her drawn one specific way. You know, she's always had one specific look to her. Never has she looked like a 42nd Street whore that's about 42 years old. Okay? She's always looked young. And Chaykin just... The way he drew her face was just so off-putting to me. And I just could not get used to that at all. She was way too bulky. Her villain was disgusting. It looked like bad Frank Miller. And that's not what I want to see out of Hawkgirl.
Yeah, I was just going to say, she kind of looks like a Frank Miller girl.
Yeah, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's not a good... Yeah, especially since she's supposed to be in, like... I think she was a teenager when she started out. Mm-hmm. And she's supposed to be, like, in her early 20s.
Yeah, I know.
That doesn't make any sense.
Brent, did you pick those up, or...?
No, I didn't. I'm not a Hawkman fan, not a Hawkman reader, so I didn't pick that up. This year was the first year I encountered Chaykin art.
Okay.
Probably just from the Civil War thing he did.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at that, I didn't understand why is this guy revered so much. And even the Black Canary thing he did in 52, that was just ugly.
Yeah, that was not very attractive at all.
So as a new fan who's hearing of this guy who has a reputation, I didn't understand what the humbug's about, you know?
Well, I think he
all
used
the humdrum,
to... Humdrum, hugbug, whatever, something along those lines. But, you know, I mean... He used to be better than this, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
He used to be better than this. And I don't know whether it's just age catching up to him or what, but he's not drawing nearly as well as he used to. Sounds like a certain somebody else that, you know, apes his style a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think he had like a huge hiatus, because I hadn't heard about Chaykin up until like a year or two ago when he started over at, I think it was at DC, I'm not sure where, but he had been out of comics for like 10 years, I think. Or that was the last time he was big, was 10 years ago.
And he's also, at conventions, he seems like a very angry man. I don't want to say anything bad about somebody that I don't know, but he seems like one of those, like wily old men that just, like, is, like, sick and tired of everything. And, you know, that's what I got off of him. I could be wrong, you know, because I don't know the guy personally, but that's kind of what I got off him, so.
That's Rob Liefeld's future.
Oh, no. Hey, just for once I wasn't the guy who put down Liefeld on the show, okay? Let that be known, folks.
Yeah, no, I hear he's a great guy.
Yeah, no, I know. I hear he's a great guy, too. But, you know, just Chaykin, I knew, the only thing I really know from Chaykin is when he was at the Harvey Awards. And whenever he came up to accept an award mostly for somebody else, because that's usually what happens at the Harveys, but, you know, he was accepting awards, and he would just be like, eh, and sit back down. Like, he couldn't be bothered, that sort of thing. You know? But, again, I could be entirely wrong about this. If people have had good experiences with Chaykin, let me know, and I'll retract my statements. But that's what I've seen out of him so far, and it really hasn't, you know, made me like him anymore. That's just the way things go for that. But let's talk a little bit about the Vertigo and Wildstorm stuff, because obviously that's related to DC, since they're all under the DC banner in the long run. Let's talk Vertigo for a little bit. Do a quick best and worst for 2006 of Vertigo. Best Vertigo title for 2006, for me, probably has to be Why the Last Man, because it's continued to be as great as it always has been. And I can't stop picking it up. So that and Fables have been my best two when it comes to Vertigo. And for Wildstorm, best of would have to be both Ex Machina and The Boys have been terrific. So those are my two for there. And Brent, I know that you really don't read much Vertigo or Wildstorm, but was there anything that you really picked up from them that you wanted to mention?
I haven't picked up anything from them all this year.
Okay.
Unless you're going to count the Why the Last Man trade I got for Christmas, which I did read and I enjoyed, so I'm going to give that number two.
Okay, good. Well then I'll ask Raph this question, because I know that he reads, you know, at least some stuff from there. But
yeah,
best stuff out of Vertigo and Wildstorm.
Let's see. stuff I've read from Vertigo, I liked a lot. Why the Last Man, it was so great. I got started around issue 48, and all that stuff that's been going on since then has been unbelievable. DMZ is also really good. I love that series. Everybody loves that series, I think.
I'm picking it up in trade, so.
Yeah, another personal favorite of mine is Testament. It's like the story that revolves around like this control, like they put chips into college students and to like monitor them and stuff, and they use all these Old Testament, New Testament references, and I think that's kind of interesting. And on the Wildstorm end, I was looking forward to Worldstorm. I had a background with Wildcats from the cartoon back in the 90s, but I gotta say it's been kind of hit and miss. I guess my favorite Wildstorm series is probably Midnighter and Gen 13.
Okay. Well, actually, yeah, Gen 13's been good. I've only picked up the first issue so far, so I gotta actually pick up the back issues on that. But I really did enjoy the first issue, God damn you, Sean. So
Sean up my spending by at least $40 a month.
Oh, it's sad, man. The podcasts, what they do to you.
Am I the only one that can resist Sean Whalen?
And the answer to that is no, you are the only one. Yeah, you are the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're all that's left.
Yes, exactly.
The only thing that I picked up from his show is Manhunter.
Okay.
That's it. Everything else I've already been reading.
Okay.
Oh, no, the Hawkman, the Rise of the Golden Eagle that he reviewed, the Gray and Palmiotti run, that I bought the trade for like $3. It's so good. I cursed him out. I sent him a PM and cursed
great.
Him out.
Yeah. I picked up that entire run back when it was first coming out in singles, and that was really good. But they're gold. Yeah, Gray and Palmiotti are real gold.
Yeah,
they really are.
They're actual gold pieces. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's true.
Like the middle.
True story, actually. But yeah, but no, it's good. It's good about the whole Wildstorm thing. The fact that you know you get one issue in about 7 months. That's a plus.
Yeah, it saves me a lot of money. I can buy my Authority this month. I can buy my Wildcats in 2 months, and then another 2 months, I can get my next Authority.
Yeah, it's great, really. It's absolutely terrific. Oh, God, they screwed that up so much.
Yeah.
They really did.
I don't know what Jim Lee was thinking. You know, it's like, oh, I'll do All-Star Batman and Robin with Frank Miller. I'll do the DC MMORPG, and I'll relaunch my entire universe. Yeah, that's great.
And I'll re-alphabetize my library.
Oh, yeah. While he's at it. But
exactly. And I'll trim the hedges for my wife. You know, he's just going to do all these chores. You know, it'll be fun.
And I'll travel the world and remake myself.
Oh, no, that's Batman.
Oh, yeah, oops.
Yeah.
When did the DC MMORPG, like, the planning start? Was that, like, before All-Star or during?
That was during, I think.
Yeah, it was during.
See, like, I can understand wanting to have him on as a not a concept artist, but if you're going to use character models based on him, then I understand, you know, having him do, like, a roundabout turn for the characters. You know, making him executive producer, whatever the hell he's doing. He's already got a comic book title. And then say, I'm going to do Wildcats as well with Grant Morrison, whether or not, you know, whoever's writing it, to say that I'm going to pencil another book, even though my first book is extremely late. That was a dumb move for him to say.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is about Jim Lee is that he's a great businessman. He just kind of sucks with deadlines. So stick to the business end. Let other people do the art. That's it at this point. I love him. He's a great artist. When he does pinups, it's wonderful. But stick to the pinups and let other people do the main art.
Yeah, he's even a cover artist like Alex Ross. But you got to admit, the greatest annual to come out this year is All-Star Batman number 5. Great annual.
Oh. you had me thinking there for a minute. I'm like, wait. An annual came out? What?
Number 4.
Yeah. Oh. it was number 4. Yeah, it was. It wasn't even a number 5.
It was number 4. Oh. Yeah, they're buried somewhere at the bottom of my 2005. Yeah, okay.
See, what I'd like to see is a cross-company trade paperback of Ultimate Hulk Wolverine and All-Star Batman and Robin.
Oh, yeah. You won't even get 100 pages on that combined.
Exactly. And they can charge $24 for it. It'll
exactly.
be great.
And you can have Frank another terrible Frank Miller cover, and everyone can just lap it up.
Oh, his Black Canary still gives me nightmares.
Oh, God.
No, she was the 86th Street whore. That Black Canary.
Yeah.
No, 42nd Street whore before Giuliani cleaned up New York.
Sorry, I'm not in New York.
Everything.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, yes, I forgot. By the way, the temperature now in Florida is, Brent, just so that everybody can cringe, you know, especially the ones that are listening from Denver.
65!
Yeehaw!
Wow.
Yeah. Boy. Yippee-i-yo-ki-yay. Well, that's only about 45 here, so... Yes, it was 80 yesterday, you bastard.
Rub it in.
Yeah, you were freaking swimming yesterday. Bastard.
At least we haven't had any blizzards.
Anyway, yeah, at least we haven't had any of those. That's perfectly true. Go back to DC now. We haven't talked about new titles that came out. We only talked about 1 year later. Your favorite new title to come out of DC in 2006, and give me a reason why on that. And you can also give me your worst title to come out if you want to do that, because I actually have one that I can think of. But you know, it's one that chances are Sean won't agree with, but Jim probably will. But anyway, let's go for bests here, and we'll start with Brent.
For best, just do best?
Yeah, do best and worst.
Okay. The best title for me, the one I'm really liking to read, is Blue Beetle. Like, the only thing I read about Blue Beetle was the Countdown to Infinite Crisis where he died.
Yeah.
So I just picked that first issue up on a whim because it made a big deal about it, you know. And I really liked it. The only disappointing part for that one, for me, has been, you know, Cully Hamner has been absent on a lot of issues on his own book.
Yeah.
And, I mean, some of the guest art has been good, but it's just not the same when you say Cully Hamner's doing Blue Beetle.
Because his art style is so distinctive.
But yeah. I really like the writing. I don't know whether it's Keith Giffen or John Rogers injecting the humor, but I think it's a great title. I thought number 7 was like the best one. Number 1 and number 7 are the best issues of that book to me.
It has been great stuff, so I would certainly agree with that. And your worst?
Battle for Bloodhaven. I'm sorry, guys. Sean and Jim, I picked up 1 and 2 when they came out before you even looked at them, and I put it back. I bought them and I put it back down. I did not continue picking it up. Right now they are in the front of the long box of mine, so that, you know, if they get bent, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, no, I really didn't like it that much either, so I can understand, because it wasn't the best stuff Jurgens has put out. Not even close to the best stuff Jurgens has put out. So I'd like to see, you know, I like what I've been seeing out of the Freedom Fighters, but that initial Battle for Bloodhaven that led into that, not the best stuff in the world. I can certainly agree with that. Raph, what about you? Best and worst?
This can be miniseries too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my best probably would be between the all-new Atom and Martian Manhunter.
Okay.
I just love the direction that they're taking with the Atom. Just having this guy who's idolized Ray Palmer and having him go through all these wild adventures and not knowing what he's doing. But the most important thing is he's Asian. That makes the book the greatest book ever. anyway, and Martian Manhunter. They updated his look finally, and I'm liking where they're going with this. I can't wait to see the end of this series. And I actually want to see an ongoing, actually, but I don't know if they're going to do that.
They might.
Yeah,
they
might. Who knows? So. My worst. OMAC. That's what it was. OMAC. Because
okay.
I picked up the first issue going, you know, okay, this is Brave New World. Let's see what they do with it. And then I was like, wait a minute. Aren't the OMACs, like, totally annihilated? Didn't Batman and company destroy them all? Isn't Brother Eye basically dead? And then, you know, that whole opening where he's dreaming, it just didn't do anything for me. I already don't care about the OMAX. They're supposed to be gone, and you're not helping me. You're not making me care. I mean, yeah, the guy's on the run and everything, but it's nothing new to me.
I can understand what you're saying about that, yeah.
It's another Bruce Jones title. What can you say?
Oh, mm-hmm. That's right. It is Bruce Jones, right?
Yeah.
Where are the Pimple Monsters?
That's a good question, actually. Well, yeah. They're yet to come.
See, issue 8, I'm sure. But what about Shazam? Anybody enjoying that? I'm really liking that.
Oh, yeah.
About that one.
I totally forgot about this. Yes, Trials of Shazam is awesome.
Yeah, Trials of Shazam has actually been really good. The art on that is fantastic.
Yeah.
I am loving that art.
Because
I have never seen that style. Yeah, I have never seen that style out of Howard Porter before. So this is the first time I've really seen a painted style out of him. And where the hell has he been hiding this for the past,
yeah,
you know?
I remember him from Morrison's first JLA run, and it's so different.
Well, even, come on, most recently, his Flash stuff, compare that to now?
Oh, yeah.
It's two different artists. Two different artists entirely.
Totally different.
Yeah.
You I can argue against that because I see the similarities in the anatomy and stuff, but the way it's executed is different. I think it's different.
Yeah.
But it is. I think it is drawing things a little differently.
Oh, a little? A lot, dude. A lot, man.
The whole back of a pencil, you know. He's doing it digitally, all of it, himself.
Yeah, and actually, it sort of reminds me a bit of what happened when Salvador La Roca first went to the digital. You know, how his art looked a certain way, and I was so used to that, and then it changed, you know, and not enough where we wouldn't recognize it was him, but it certainly had a major change once he went to the digital inks. So I could certainly understand, you know, why the digital would make that much of an effect on the art.
Yeah, I'm 50-50 on La Roca, actually, myself.
Yeah, all right. Well, there you go. Go figure on that. But my favorites, Shadow Pact, definitely up there with me, because Shadow Pact has been anything Willingham touches turns to gold pretty much for me. Except for his Robin, I was a bit iffy on that. But everything he's done except for Robin, I have been all over. And Shadow Pact has been terrific. I love the characterization of one great characters like, you know, Ragman and Blue Devil and all that. Been absolutely terrific so far, and I'm picking that up week after week, well, month after month, that is, and enjoying every single minute of it. So I definitely have to have that as one of my favorites. And Secret Six.
Oh, yeah.
Secret Six is another one. Yeah, because, I mean, it just ended, and Gail Simone, make that into a regular series.
Yes, please.
Make that into a regular series, because if you do not, I will be very upset. Because those characters are there. I have never seen a group of villains that felt more like a family. Which is really hard to do. Yeah, a really sick, twisted family.
Yeah.
But it's still a family, nonetheless, you know? And they feel like they're genuine friends who, you know, live together, who, you know, have the same sort of gripes that any family really has, only they do it in villain fashion, basically. And it hits on all cylinders for me. So you gotta have that. You gotta have that.
Yeah.
The worst, I'm probably gonna have to say The Next. The miniseries that came out, that is what it was called, right? The Next?
Yeah, didn't even pick it up.
Yeah, The Next was so not what I was expecting. Because my main problem with it is that I feel like it was named The Next for one reason. And it's actually what I mentioned. I mentioned this in a previous episode, I believe, or if that, or actually, no, you know what it was? It was a comment on Raging Bullets that I mentioned it. I felt like they called it The Next, and they used the art style they did only to capitalize on Next Wave out of Marvel Comics. Because the first issue of that, the cover to that, looks like a Next Wave cover. And it's done in the Stuart Immonen style to sort of ape what Next Wave was doing. You open it up, and it's not nearly as good as Next Wave. It's not even close to as good as Next Wave, and it just fell flat. I cared nothing about these characters at all, and I had no drive whatsoever to pick up the next issue, so I just threw that out the window after that. That was just no thank you, and just went on to the next thing. So that and OMAC would probably be my two worst, because I really didn't like OMAC that much either, but the next was just not my thing.
Yeah, they saw Superman on the cover, I think, and that was their selling point. Superman and the next.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mentioned that also, actually, in the past, and I'll mention it again. When you put Superman on a cover just to sell things, you know you're not getting a good book. So,
yeah. You
know, they could have went with anybody. They put Superman on there basically like, hey, Superman's in this book. Anybody who's a fan of Superman would really love this. He's only in 5 pages, but pick it up anyway, please. Please.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, not picking it up.
Exactly, yeah.
What about Machine Space?
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, I'm still a bit torn on that, actually. I like the first 2 issues. It's not the best thing in the world or the worst thing in the world. It's sort of middle of the road for me. Have you been picking it up, Brent?
No.
No? Oh, yeah, that's cool that you're not picking up.
Factor miniseries, but I didn't get the anthology.
Oh.
Or Tales of the Unexpected. I'm not getting that either.
Yeah, me neither, actually. I'm not
I'm
getting Mysteries in Space, though, and I've been liking it enough. I mean, Raph, is it like middle of the road for you, too, or...?
Yeah, I only started picking up because of Sean and Jim's glowing recommendation, and I'm liking it. I mean, it's pretty much middle, it's upper middle, like, it's something, it's like, oh, you know, Mystery in Space, I'll read it later, but, you know, I definitely would rather read my JLAs, my 52s, and, you know, all that other stuff.
Yeah, no, let's talk about JLA, actually, because JLA and JSA, that's a whole thing that we could talk about right now, because obviously, those are the major restarts that, you know, those are your two big teams. And we've gotten one issue out of JSA already, and it's already better than JLA for me. Already.
Yes. Yeah, blew me away.
I'm liking JLA, don't get me wrong, but I am anticipating JSA. When JLA comes out, I'm like, oh, cool, JLA came out. When JSA comes out, I need to read this. It's the top of the stack book. Immediately after I read 52, I'm going to read JSA. I know that for certain. It just blew me away. And I'm sure the both of you guys agree with that.
Oh, yeah. That was a great book.
Yeah, definitely. And JLA also. I mean, JLA is good, but what do you think of the characterization of the JLA so far? I mean, are you liking the characters they pick for that?
The thing with me with the JLA is, this is my idea of the JLA and the JSA. The JLA is the premier super team. It is the Avengers of the DC universe. They are the big guns. Anything that, you know, any big trouble, you got to go through them first. And the JSA is like, you know, they're the forefathers, and they're the more. What Geoff Johns is doing with the JSA is my vision of the JSA, what I think of them as the JSA. With the JLA, it's like, all right, Superman's there, Batman's there, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Black Canary, and Arsenal. That's fine. Vixen, Black Lightning, you know, Hawkgirl, okay. You know, Red Tornado, I love the Red Tornado storyline. I love that he's giving him such a human touch. But it's sort of like an Identity Crisis sequel,
mm-hmm.
not in terms of like style. It's just moving so slow, and with a book like that, with the characters, it's supposed to be the big guns book, and I'm not getting that. And I mean, I love what he's doing. It's just it doesn't feel like a big gun book to me. Whereas JSA, they're building up to this whole thing with this mystery villain killing off all these heroes. And you know, and all these new heroes being introduced, and all the old ones coming back. I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
With JLA, it's like, all right. I mean, I still like it, but I'm okay. I'm only okay with it.
The latest issue has been my favorite one so far of JLA. And
oh yeah,
just a spoiler warning here because it's still a recent book, but you haven't read it yet, Brent?
No, it's waiting for me back at school.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I won't reveal anything other than the fact that this one. You know what? I'll have one line for you, okay? Because this one doesn't reveal anything. Arsenal meets Hawkgirl for the first time.
Oh.
And Hawkgirl is there in like one of those like sexy silhouettes that Ed Bennis loves to draw, and there's Arsenal with like his jaw dropped, and of course he goes, "Pretty bird." And right away, I'm like, okay, you were totally raised by Green Arrow, you know that
yeah.
was that was the moment for me because obviously, you know, Green Arrow's been calling Black Canary Pretty Bird for years now. So the fact is, I'm actually and you know, I'm sure that Sean's going to kill me for saying this, but I'm actually really intrigued to see something happen between Arsenal and Hawkgirl. I know that she's not exactly 100% accepting of the fact that Hawkman and her, you know, would get something going, and Hawkman's missing at this point, even though he'll be back. But I'd like to actually see her and Arsenal get something going, relationship-wise, because I feel like that would really throw an interesting wrench into that whole relationship between Hawkman and Hawkgirl.
Especially when they cross over, when the JLA and JSA cross over later on.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Well, Brent, for the issues that you've read so far, I mean, have you been enjoying JLA any more than Raph has? Or
as far as the team on the JLA goes, I like the trinity that they're there. I wish Green Lantern wasn't Hal Jordan. I would have liked to have seen Kyle Rayner or John Stewart. Hal Jordan has his own book, you know, leave him to it. And he just came back. So, like, you know, has he really repaired himself and his reputation?
Yeah.
To me, he hasn't. So I would have liked to see another Green Lantern. And also, like, Arsenal, that's fine with me. I'm looking forward to reading about that. But can we please draw him in his costume on the covers, Michael Turner? He's not Red Arrow yet, you know? So that ruined it.
Yeah, I know.
He was Red Arrow from the first cover. And we're going, what the hell? So is he going to be or not? We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know, but at the same time, Michael Turner does that a lot. He messes things up on a regular basis when it comes to art. So,
well, they even threw it off in like the preview. They had the blacked out shapes or whatever.
Yeah,
I thought Black Lightning was going to be maybe Captain Atom, mm-hmm. but they made the bow on Red Arrow. They made it green. So like when Arsenal showed up, I was kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah,
Black Lightning I've never read, so that's okay with me. So liking how he's making him a character that new readers can care about.
Yeah, definitely.
The JLA was fractured and utterly destroyed because of what they did with the mind wiping. whereas JSA just kind of, you know, everybody left or something. So JSA didn't have to do as much of a rebuild as the JLA did, you know. Their three people or four people were still intact in the JSA, whereas Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman still had, you know, they had to reconnect. But I can understand, like, I see where it's going, and I think that these 13 issues or 12 or however many Brad Meltzer's doing, they're going to read great one, you know, in one sitting. Like, 1 through 6 are going to be read great, just because you can read it all at once. And I think that, like, Brad Meltzer writes novels for a living, and he does comics on the side. He's like, said that. And Geoff Johns does comics for a living and does other stuff on the side. So there's a difference in their writing styles. You know, Geoff Johns is going to give us what we want right away. An interesting character piece, which is why we have all the different narrations and the Red Tornado.
All right, so let's actually go on to stuff in 2006 that left us looking forward to 2007 the most. And I want to start off with Wrath first here. Specifically books that, you know, were so damn good that you're just waiting for that, you know, cliffhanger to be explained in 2007. And this could be anything from Wildstorm to Vertigo to regular DC or anything along those lines. So, Wrath, what are you looking forward to?
I got a few. All right. Who the hell... Doctor Impossible is, or Mission, or whatever his name is, the villain in Justice League is going to be, the JLA JSA crossover, the end of Ion, the end of Martian Manhunter, and the end of 52.
Okay.
Sort of. I don't want that series to end, but I know it's going to end. You know, I kind of want to know what happens.
So that's pretty much it right there.
Yeah, maybe if I can get some All-Star Batmans and maybe some Wildcats, that'd be cool too. That'd be a bonus.
Yeah, about that.
Just one each.
That's just frosting on the cake. I don't care.
Frosting on the cake. I like that expression. I'll go with that. But yeah, my favorites that I'm looking forward to the most in 2007, Manhunter, because it's supposed to, you know, lead into this big other DC event that's supposed to be coming down the line. So I want to see exactly what the hell they're going to do with this. So that's definitely one of them. Titans East in the Teen Titans is definitely one of them. Obviously, the end of 52, that one barely even needs to be mentioned because we got, 19 more issues left or something like that? Like, some small amount like that left, something along those lines, right?
Small amount.
Yeah, right.
Only in a weekly series.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, hey, well, my favorite thing is that it's going to end on 5207.
Oh, wow, really?
Uh-huh, yeah. The last issue is going to come out on May 2nd. So,
Jeez, talk about
meticulous planning right there. So, I cannot wait until May 2nd, 2007 to actually find out, you know, how 52 ends up. And also, I'm curious to see how this Donner run is going to end on Superman. Because, quite frankly, I don't know whether or not he's going to be able to actually put out a full, you know, amount of books that I really want to pick up. So, I'm curious about that. And one other thing, Why the Last Man is almost over.
That's right.
I want to see how Why the Last Man is going to end, because he's coming really close to ending this, because the last couple of issues have come more and more like he's winding down, and I am very intrigued by how this is going to end, and it makes me believe more and more that a Why the Last Man movie would work, because there's a defined beginning, middle, and end, so give it a shot, you know, I'm all for that, so that's what I'm looking forward to in 2007 pretty much. Brian, what about you?
JLA, JSA, just more issues of those because they're magnificent. I would like to see Paul Dini continue to write great one-shots. Mm-hmm. Grant Morrison, return to Batman, get rid of this crap that we have now.
I'm assuming you're not liking any of the new dude?
No. Ostrander and Mandrake?
Yeah.
No. Right. I can't get into the writing. I can't get into the arc. To the art, not the arc.
Well, you know, technically you can't get into the arc if you don't like the art.
That's true, and I can't travel through comic book pages.
And if the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
True.
Sorry, I had to throw that in there. Continue.
What crap? What was I looking forward to? Fuck, damn you.
I threw Brent off his trail.
End of 52, obviously.
Yeah.
How that all ties in. Oh, and one thing I really want to see resolved in 2007. What the fuck happened to Dick Grayson proposing to Oracle?
Thank you.
And where the hell is Hawkman? Yeah. I want to see those resolved in 2007.
Hey, well, I have my theory on where the hell Hawkman was, and I don't think it's going to be true, but I wrote a post on the CGS forums about it a little while back. I actually think that Supernova might very well be Carter Hall.
Ooh, interesting.
What?
Okay, hear me out on this, okay? Because I mentioned this a couple episodes back, I believe, but this is what I'm thinking about that right now. Carter Hall has the connections, and he also has the years of, you know, of knowing different superheroes and all that, where he'd be able to get a whole bunch of technology to give him pretty much any powers he'd want. So, you know, give him, you know, these, like, light powers that Supernova has. It'd be pretty damn easy. Just, you know, contact the right person, he'd be able to get that. Also, in the Hawkman book, he's been trying to break the whole idea that him and Hawkgirl have to be, you know, connected. So what better way to do that, because he's afraid of, you know, what might happen to her down the line, what better way to do that than be a superhero and don't let anybody know who the hell you are? So, you know, she could very well be, you know, communicating with him and not even realize it. So it's very far-fetched, and I doubt it's true, but that's what I've been leaning towards as of late, that it might actually be Carter Hall, because we could very well get the reveal on Supernova and then have JSA number 2 come out. It could very, because that's the way that they've been working lately with DC. Like, we've been finding out stuff in 52, and then immediately, a one-year later book has that character in it.
That's true.
So that's what I've been thinking lately. I could be wrong on this. I could be incredibly wrong on this, but who knows? So
that's interesting.
Yeah, but just to throw that out there for a little nugget for everybody to think about. But watch, it'll be Booster Gold now.
I have something. Now that we've touched on Marvel and DC, can we discuss like who had the better year in your opinion?
Good idea.
I know John's not here to voice his opinion, but
yeah,
I think
we'll get his idea the next time around. But yeah.
I think DC had the better year by far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, delays aside, storytelling wise, you know, we had the bulk of Infinite Crisis, we had the bulk of 1 year later, and the bulk of 52 this year in 2006.
Yep.
So those are like the three huge major things for DC, and a lot of, you know, all of them were good, if not great.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think their titles, you know, Marvel has some things wrong with its titles, not just delays, but creator-wise, I think some of them. But I think title-wise, DC is stronger than Marvel right now, just with the creative teams and the way books are heading. And I don't know whether, you know, that's because five of them are written by Geoff Johns or anything like that. But I just like the way that the DC universe is heading somewhere in a particular direction. And it seems a lot more cohesive than the Marvel universe does right now. Even with Civil War in it, you know, all the monitors popping up everywhere and we're having guest appearances and, you know, in every other book. But it really feels like a cohesive universe more than Marvel does to me.
I'm going to agree with you on that, actually, because that's the whole reason why I would actually go with DC over Marvel, because with stuff like Civil War, you wanted to get an entire universe that felt like it was all part of the same story. However, due to discontinuities and stuff like that, where, you know, one character would show up where he's not supposed to, the whole thing about where the hell did Young Avengers Runaways actually happen in the whole story of things, because, you know, Runaways is in its own book, Young Avengers are actually involved with Civil War, and yet somehow Young Avengers Runaways happened. I'm still wondering about that. You've got the whole discontinuities in art also that you did not get in DC. So that's why I'm pretty much going to go DC over Marvel. In 2007, I'm hoping Marvel is going to show me why I should put Marvel ahead of DC, but for now, DC's ahead of Marvel in 2006, specifically with how they delivered their event. So that's why I'm going to go DC over Marvel. Raph, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going to make it a clean sweep. I mean, let's go delay for delay here. You look at DC's delays, the only one that's really, really extremely important is Wonder Woman, I think. Because, yes, the All-Star line is important, but it's not... In terms of continuity and the main universe, the only big book that's missing is Wonder Woman. And even that, you know, that's okay. Meanwhile, you have this... In Marvel, you have this huge crossover that's supposed to have huge ramifications everywhere, and it's months late. And you know, not only does it back up Civil War... See, Wonder Woman backs up Wonder Woman. Civil War backs up Amazing Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, New Avengers, and all those other crossover books. And, you know, I was so enthusiastic about Civil War. And, you know, I'm still looking forward to the end. It's just my... You know, Iron Man is such a douchebag, and it's all over. That's it for me. That's it.
Well, see, I'm actually waiting for them to change his superhero name to Douchebag Man.
Yeah, that'd be great. Because, you know, like, that whole freaking Iron Man debacle let's let them finish their arc, even though Civil War is going on, and then do why Iron Man is right. You know,
it's
what
ridiculous.
The hell?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, we talked about that in depth last episode, so I don't want to get too in-depth on that now, but I agree with that, and that's another reason why I would definitely pick DC over Marvel. And one other thing that I wanted to mention, for Chris's sake, of Collected Comics Library, because he mentioned that we forgot to mention Collected Editions on the last episode of Comic Timing for Marvel, and I wanted to definitely at least touch on it a little bit for DC. What were your favorite collected editions that came out in 2006 when it comes to DC? Were there any in particular trade paperbacks you picked up that, you know, came out in the publishing year of 2006 you were really looking forward to that you're glad you really got a chance to pick up?
I didn't buy that many trades this year from DC. I got the Superman Doomsday trade, which came out, you know, story-wise that was okay. Mm-hmm. I also got, I think might be the only other one I'm looking at my bookshelf was Batman and the Monster Men.
Okay.
Which was okay, but again, to me, it wasn't fantastic, wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked how, you know, both those books were bargain priced. You know, Superman Doomsday is like a big, thick thing, almost as thick as Return of Superman, which I also got this year, the new printing, and they were both $20. So I thought that was a great deal. You know, Return of Superman is like 21 comics for $20 in color.
Wow. Wow.
So yeah, that's a great pickup.
Yeah. And Raph, you?
I got to say, they look really good across the board. I got the DMZ hardcover because I missed the first few issues. So that was good for me. And I got on both ends, the bargain end and the absolutely beautiful end, you've got, you know, the bargain showcases, which were like, I don't know, 20 comics in a $20, less than a $20 book, and you know they're black and white, but I mean you get it's stuffed with so much good stuff in there. So I mean that stuff was good, and you also got the Absolute editions. I picked up Absolute Hush, but that's from like 2 years ago. But I picked up Absolute Kingdom Come. I'm gonna get Absolute Sandman and Absolute Watchmen. I mean those stories are like they're like must reads if you're into comics. So
without question.
DC did a great job with that stuff, and I'm anticipating the Long Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
The next one. So DC's done a great job of trades.
I have the Long Halloween sitting on my shelf, the regular edition, of course, but I have it sitting on my shelf, still haven't had a chance to read it. I've always wanted to.
It's so good.
But it's just sitting on there because it's just so damn long. That's the problem.
It's 13 issues, but it looks thicker than it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll get to it eventually. And actually, it's a good time for me to bring this up. I wanted to give a major, major thank you. I got my Secret Santa gift from Paul on the forums. And he sent me a really cool Kyle Rayner sketch. And he also sent me, in particular, one that I'm really glad that I have in my collection now. He sent me Batman Ghosts, A Legend of the Dark Knight Halloween Special, which was a Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale collaboration from 1995. And it's one of their first Batman collaborations. And I am really, really happy to have this in here. So chances are, when I do read Long Halloween, I'll read this first, and then I'm going to read Long Halloween. Yeah, he also sent me a couple other things. He sent me The Last Avengers Story, books 1 and 2, which is actually Peter David and Ariel Olivetti in like a really early stuff from his, which was done in 1995. So it's really cool getting like early Ariel Olivetti stuff, because his art is fantastic. Really has been for a while now. And he got me Kabuki 1 and 2, which is David Mack, obviously, and Superman Aliens 1, 2, and 3, which is Dan Jurgens and Kevin Nolan. And I've always wanted to read this because I've heard good things about it, so I guess, you know, now's my opportunity to do so. So hopefully it'll actually live up to the hype. But I've heard good things about both the Predator and the Alien stuff, so that kind of works for that. But anyway, going back on topic, and by the way, so just so we don't freak you guys out as to why the hell Raph all of a sudden, you know, sounds much better than he did, he's back on Skype now, so that explains that. But
that's right, folks, I'm back on Skype.
But you haven't said the real story yet. This is the 24-hour podcast.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. The rest of this podcast is being done the next day. But in podcast land, it's all the same file.
In a world where podcasts are edited, this one lasted 3 days.
But came out in 2 hours.
Only one man. Okay, anyway, to go back to the whole trade conversation we were having before about the absolutes, I mean, yeah, they're doing a good job with that, but they have to make them cheaper for everybody, pretty much, because $100 is not something that we can really, you know, spend on one comic book. Specifically, I mean, sure, it's an absolute, that's one thing, but I mean, make it, you know, 50 or 60, and you'll probably get more people to buy it, but I guess it, you know, the $100 is just more cost-effective for DC, I don't know.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Ian.
Yeah.
Because I said it last night.
Exactly. I know.
Yeah, you know, well, like I said last night, I think with trades, DC has this spectrum now, where you've got the showcases, which are great, you know, they're like 20 comics, black and white, really cheap, you know, $16 a pop. And then you've got your paperbacks, which are 20, 25. You've got your hardcovers, which are 25, 30. Yeah. And then you've got the cream of the crop absolutes, you know, which, you know, they may seem expensive, but I bought like three of them for a total of like $150 off Amazon and buy.com and all.
Oh,
that.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's not as if you want to like buy it and have it in your hands, it's going to be pricey. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you're willing to wait, you know, I did that.
Well, that makes me realize just how much they're marking these things up. If they can, you know, put them on that much of a discount, then obviously they must be getting them for that cheap, you know, when it comes to retail.
That's why I said last night that they should lower the price down, because I mean, I know they're making these for profit and that they're for like the arty collectors, but it just doesn't make sense why it has to be $100.
Yeah.
And why it varies so much, you know, from volume to volume. I realize that Sandman's 20 comics or whatever, and that's $100. But, like, Dark Knight Returns and Kingdom Come are, like, 4 issues long. But
yeah.
Kingdom Come is still $100 or 75. And then I think Dark Knight, I want to say it's, like, 50.
Well,
I don't know what the difference is that is.
Well, that was Dark Knight Returns and Dark Knight Strikes Again, right?
Right.
Which is
right.
What lowered the price.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. Yeah, because that obviously makes a lot more sense. You put crappy comics in something, obviously it's going to cost a little less. But
so the Wildcats one should be like $25?
No, that'll be $2.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Bargain bin.
Exactly. Well, no, that's just going to be Wildcats number one someday, but anyway.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, other trades that you know, I was happy about, specifically, I was really happy that the Huntress trade came out. I still haven't actually, you know, gotten it, but eventually I will because, well, it's looks like it's pretty interesting stuff. I'm glad that we finally get to, you know, get the story of Earth 2 Huntress into, you know, a tale because, well, it's kind of eluded me. All I really know is the Huntress from, you know, current continuity, which obviously is not Batman and Catwoman's daughter, unless they're going to put one giant big reveal out there someday, but that would be kind of silly.
Did you remember that Birds of Prey TV series that lasted one season?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Huntress in there was Batman and Catwoman's daughter, right?
Yeah.
See, when I was watching that TV show, I totally thought, you know, they've messed up the character. But now I realize that's the original character.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of makes more sense now.
Exactly, yeah. But, you know, they really didn't have to do that, though. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they just went with that thinking, oh, you know, more people are going to know this one. And most people know the current one. In fact, the current one has actually officially been around longer than the original Huntress now. Yeah. So go figure on that.
Well, wasn't she? Yeah, she was in JLU, you know. They had Amy Acker from Angel play her voice in a few episodes of JLU.
Yeah. Which was really good, and actually, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I sort of wanted to segue over from the trades into the animateds, because we didn't really mention that at all. And, I mean, there were a couple of animateds that came out in the world of DC that, you know, had mixed results, as it were. We've got more stuff coming in 2007 than we do, you know, right now, but for 2006, we have Legion of Superheroes specifically. Now, I've only seen about 2 episodes of this so far, and I don't think it's really my thing, but I'm curious what you guys' take on that was, and whether or not you feel 2006 was pretty effective for what came out. And you can even talk about the DVD sets that came out, because obviously you had the next volume of Superman Animated came out, and I believe there was a volume of Batman Beyond that came out, and Justice League as well started coming out on DVDs, so plenty of great stuff that came out in 2006, both on DVDs and on, you know, actual TV. So, start off with you, Raf.
Yeah, I picked up the Justice League on DVD. I really enjoyed the DVDs. I enjoyed the commentary, the features they had on it. I was really disappointed when they decided to cancel JOU.
Yeah.
I thought that was the greatest cartoon, like DC Comics-based cartoon in a while.
Yeah.
And they really did a lot of stuff with it that I didn't think you'd do in a cartoon. I mean, like, they had really serious stories in that series, and I really miss it. I mean, my favorite moment was when Superman finally cuts loose and just like punches Darkseid to like half a mile of buildings. That was great for me.
Oh well, no question. And that was the most Superman-esque Superman has been on any of the incarnations of the Timverse, basically.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he showed more power in that. Mind you, in the first season, they had him entirely wrong. So the fact that they went full circle and gave us a Superman that felt so right by the end just proves just how much that series evolved from season to season.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Brent? Have you seen Legion of Superheroes?
Yeah, I've seen about, like, I want to say, like, 5 or 6 episodes of it.
Okay.
And I mean, it's like a Saturday morning thing. It works. I'm not that too familiar with the characters, so I don't have any like major complaints or anything like that. But sometimes I do like about the show, they have like the references to the past or whatever, or like you'll see some like artifact or something. I can't remember specific examples of stuff like that, but I mean, it's not bad. But like the animation's quality is different than the rest of it, so it kind of sets it apart. So I mean, if you don't want to take it in as the same continuity, because they're using a younger Superman, when technically he should be Superboy, but because of all the legalities, they're not using that, you know? But if you want to take it separately, you can, so you could just shove that off to the side. I didn't get the Batman Beyond Season 2 yet, but I got Season 1 last year, and that's just a great cartoon. I love that.
It is a great cartoon, and I mean, DC just puts out great cartoons, and that's the one thing they definitely have over Marvel, because a lot of Marvel stuff is sort of questionable at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Did you guys like the Ultimate Avengers series that came out? I was okay with it.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I liked it, but I certainly don't like it nearly as much as I liked the DC stuff, so.
Yeah, I was less pleased with it than I wished I would have been. Hopefully, like, the Iron Man looks good, and hopefully the DC stuff will be better than the Ultimate Avengers.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
No question about that, yeah. And, I mean, that's something that we get to look forward to in 2007, the straight-to-DVD animated movies, which are going to be coming out. Specifically, I mean, we mentioned a couple of them back when we were talking about, you know, actual movies coming out of DC. But, I mean, the fact that we get to see DC New Frontier and, Superman Doomsday and all this wonderful stuff that, you know, we never really thought that we'd be able to see animated. Specifically, Teen Titans. I cannot wait for that. So,
yeah.
A full George Perez Teen Titans movie. I'm in for that.
The Teen Titans and the New Frontier, I think, are going to be the best ones out of that batch.
Definitely.
Well, hopefully. But I think, out of all of them, I think New Frontier, if they do it, you know, the way... Because, I mean, that comic is just so, like... It's animated, you know, the panels feel... It feels it has an animation quality to it, you know?
Yeah.
And if they're getting the creators to work on it, like story editors or whatever, like, I think they're doing... Like, George Perez is involved with his cartoon and... Darwin Cook worked on the Batman show before he did comics, right? So he already knows what he's doing. So that's why I think that one will come out the best.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely going to be at least one of the best. No question about that.
And you could read that. And I read it after they announced the cartoon. So I read that, and I can see that as like an hour cartoon or something, or like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the other thing I have to complain about the Marvel ones. I thought they were too short.
Okay.
Like 70 minutes for, you know, 6 issues of content or whatever. I mean, the second one works a little better because there's an original story.
Mm-hmm.
But just the amount of stuff they crammed into the first one, I felt it was too short. So I wish they would have, like, extended it to, like, a full hour and a half length.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from with that. I mean, Rath, do you agree with that, or?
Yeah, the first Ultimate Avengers movie is supposed to be the first Ultimates run, a little toned down, and even though it took 2 years to come out, it was 12 issues, and 12 issues is longer than 70 minutes to me. I mean, there were so many things that they cut out that I felt like just took a little way. I liked the first Ultimate Avengers. I thought it was okay, but it could have been better.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that. And I mean, but again, just to bring it back to DC for a minute, there really hasn't been anything that DC's done other than possibly. I didn't really get into Teen Titans that much, but I mean, and Legion of Superheroes. I can't really say too much on that considering that I've only seen like one or two. But most of what DC's put out, I absolutely love right off the bat. So, I mean, they're definitely doing that, and 2006 was a great year for them on even releasing things, because the sets that they came out with for Justice League and Superman and all that, they didn't pull any punches. I mean, these are gorgeous sets. So I'm really glad to see that they're actually being released properly, as opposed to just, you know, just throwing them out there, you know, with like one or two features or something like that. I mean, you got pretty much perfect quality episodes and, you know, great looking DVDs and a great looking box set to put on your shelf. So I'm happy about that.
The thing that disappoints me with the JLU is that they stopped making it. Like, because it was on Cartoon Network, they knew their audience, and they put it on like Saturday nights at like, what was it, like 8 o'clock or something?
Yeah.
They're skewing their audience older. I know that, but that's still like one of the more original shows Cartoon Network has on. It's not a Cartoon Network cartoon or anything like that, which aren't the same as they used to be.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't understand why they canceled it. I thought, you know, they switched from the two-parters to the one, like, you know, one-shots kind of thing. And the people started, I thought more people started paying attention to it when they did that and branched out. So ending it right there when it looks like it was just, you know, starting to peak doesn't make sense to me.
It didn't have the marketing potential. That's the problem. It did not sell. When it comes to toys and all that, I mean, toys are as important as anything when it comes to animated series, and it just did not get those sales that, you know, they really wanted it to. So that's why it got canceled.
Well, those toys, if you look at them, they're not that great.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Not.
They're smaller than, like, I have some of the old Batman animated figures from the first, when it was on Fox Kids, you know, before they switched to the new animation style. And those figures are the full, like, you know, 6.5 inches that the standard size is. And then these new JLU figures are like 4 inches or whatever. So they pale in comparison to what the old ones used to be, even though they have more characters.
Yeah.
Plus, there's no articulation. You can't move the elbows or anything. They're just like rigid figures. Like Kevin Smith's in action figures. I love those Kevin Smith in action figures. Those are great.
Yeah. Well, I still like the fact that we still have the Justice League Unlimited comic. You know, at least we still get at least a little bit out of JLU, but obviously I'd much rather see it animated than in a comic form.
Yeah, there's just something about the cartoon, about animation. It just brings you a little more life than the comic does.
No question about that, definitely. So I guess all in all, I mean, you know, we're 2006 was decent enough for the animation. We just really would have liked to see more JLU. So that's what on the animation side. And I think that's pretty much all that we, you know, wanted to cover when it comes to the whole 2006 as a whole. So I want to move on to the forum comments now, as we've got some interesting comments here. Specifically, let's start off with Matthew Guy here. And here we go with that. What decisions were you happy with? The Year of Superman. Anything DC/Warner Brothers had to do with Superman, it was out there in 2006. The Superman Returns movie, the Superman series on DVDs from Lois and Clark to season 5 of Smallville DVDs. Episode 100 was the best of the series so far. As for the Ultimate Superman DVD set, I am waiting for the corrected set to be released. I will not tolerate mess-ups of this kind on such an important DVD set. They should have handled it better in the first place. And I don't actually have this, so I don't know exactly what the screw-up was about. Okay, so what was the deal with that?
The first disc, which is the original 1978 theatrical cut of Superman, is missing the Dolby 2 mix, and the Superman 3 is not the deluxe edition. It's the same edition that came out like 5 or 6 years ago, whenever these DVDs came out before.
What is it, Steal My Words Night or something? I said
last night, too. I mean, I just sent mine in, like, last week, so I should be getting them sometime soon.
Oh, okay.
Well, at least you have it. I don't have it, but I knew what it was.
Yes, exactly. Well, a gold star to you, Brent. A gold star to you. There we go. But, yeah, no, I that is kind of messed up that they would screw something up with that. I mean, obviously somebody's not doing their job. And, well, at least we can take solace in the fact that they're probably not doing their job anymore.
You fired.
Exactly. So, there we go. I will purchase the set when the problem is resolved. Also, Manhunter gets 5 more issues to get a bigger audience and hopefully more after this arc is over to keep the title past issue 30. And I certainly hope that is the case because, goddammit, I love me some Manhunter. I would love to see that go past issue 30. Also, the horror titles from Wildstorm, Friday the 13th with Justin Gray and Jimmy Palmiotti, and Nightmare on Elm Street with Chuck Dixon and Kevin West. Also, DMZ from Vertigo is a major hit, and I love DMZ, so I'll agree with that. But the horror titles really have not picked up. So, any of you guys picking that up at all?
Negative.
I have some of the horror titles from another company. It wasn't Wildstorm. I haven't picked these up yet.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah, I'm not really too much into the horror comics, especially the ones that are based on film franchises, so I'm going to have to, you know, bow out of that. But I am really thrilled to see Army of Darkness Marvel Zombies once that comes out, because goddamn is that going to be fun. come on, Ash in anything automatically, you know, if he's got the chainsaw and he's fighting Marvel zombies, all right, how is that not going
to
be a great
If anything game? Calls for be an animated sound dot comic, that's got to be it, just to hear Bruce Campbell's voice doing it.
Oh, of course.
It's like printing money.
That would be fantastic. Baby, you got real ugly. What decisions left you feeling let down? Wonder Woman going from a monthly to a bi-monthly is certainly one of them. This is DC's Civil War mess-up, but at least we get to see her in Manhunter in the new JLA. This is the biggest blunder of DC on any major title in 2006. Have the book in the can or get someone who can get the job done. And cutting Adventures of Superman, bringing the main core Superman titles from 3 to 2 each month, was something I disagreed with. I enjoyed Greg Rucka's run on this book and Wonder Woman. Plus, the irregular schedule of the new JLA doesn't make me happy either. I sort of didn't mind cutting the Superman titles from 3 to 2, because I felt that sort of made it a bit more streamlined. I don't know about you guys.
It didn't really count, because you got the new Confidentials.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. But
you got Confidential, All-Star, and Batman Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Really, 5.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Damn. Well, yeah, Batman Superman, you can sort of count as both a Batman and a Superman book, obviously.
Yeah, so they both got 5.
Yeah, okay, so, but I guess he's talking about, well, it is true that there aren't 3 main ones anymore, but, you know, they've pretty much just replaced it with its own, like, Legends of the Dark Knight type thing. So, I guess that sort of makes sense, you know, to tell old stories as opposed to new, so. You could very easily tell the stories you would have told in 3 Superman core titles that you can tell in 2.
New old stories. It's like that Limp Bizkit remix CD.
Oh, no. Thank you. God. Thank you for bringing up Limp Bizkit on the show, man. Ugh.
I like their albums.
Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. I have a bad taste in my mouth right now. Which books delivered and which books disappointed? 52 certainly delivered, as well as Superman Action Comics by Geoff Johns, Batman and Detective by Paul Dini. They are both phenomenal. Disappointed with Blue Beetle after 7 issues, I could just not get into the book, and I hope that Flash, starting again with issue 9, can correct the mistakes of the previous team's work and move beyond to make the title great again. And we talked about this earlier, and that's certainly the case. We do want to see a little bit of a better Flash here. Okay, a lot of a better Flash. So hopefully we'll get that once issue 9 rolls around.
Well, I think with the Blue Beetle, I think he should give it a shot again, because, I mean, Flash, you know who the character is. I think, yeah. Blue Beetle is going to take a longer time to establish that character.
Yeah.
So I think you should give that another shot, Matthew Guy, especially with, I think, issue, I want to say 9 or 10, mm-hmm. They actually go to Dan Garrett's house.
Oh.
And they're talking to his granddaughter about him being the Blue Beetle. So they're researching Blue Beetle history, so it's actually starting to pick up.
I remember that now, actually.
We're going to see some New Gods stuff coming up.
Mm.
And don't forget.
And who made the Scarab. We're going to find out who made the Scarab.
It's BK's first bullet.
That's true. That's true, actually. It's the first bullet you ever threw.
And it starts with 2 B's.
Oh. Ooh.
52. Has 52, speaking of 52, has 52 achieved what it needed to achieve in 2006? I definitely think so. 30 weeks in for me, and it is certainly one of the top 4 or 5 books I read every month before any DC or Marvel title. The 2 pluses that 52 has going for it is that it is on time on a weekly basis, while Civil War is not, and better overall sales than Marvel Civil War. 52 is a weekly mystery that I enjoy being invested in and month out. 52 was the best idea that DC came up with, but 1 year later titles are hit or miss depending on the title. Superman and Batman are both really good after that, and a few more titles just okay and not fit for print. And I guess I can sort of understand what he's saying with that. I mean, some of the 1 year laters did, you know, not hit exactly where I wanted them to hit, and 52 is outstanding. But, I don't know, I think 1 year later's pretty much done the job for me, you know? Specifically most of the titles, except for maybe only like 1 or 2 I can point out in my head. Which title left you anticipating 2007 the most? The new JSA series has the most promise to deliver for fans, but waiting months before JSA 87 and the new JSA 1 was pure torture. That I agree with.
Oh, yeah. That was way too long.
JSA is one of the best books I read every single month, so even back when it was just JSA, now it's just the Society of America, lights out every single time, so certainly agree with that. Also, the Donner and Johns Action Comics run is very interesting on both art and story. Plus, we get an Action Comics annual number 10 in early 07. Plus, the Dragon's Blood miniseries and Waiting for the Trade on the Secret Six from Gail Simone. My favorite new title that I am reading is Birds of Prey from 1 year later through issue 100. It is a top quality book from DC and Gail Simone, and that I 100% agree with. I've been reading DC's Birds of Prey ever since Gail Simone came on, basically. She brought me to it. I never read any of the earlier stuff. Did any of you pick it up before Gail Simone?
Not after either.
Wow.
I was on and off on Birds of Prey. I would jump on if I didn't like the arc. You know, after that was done, I'd jump off, and then I'd jump back on again. But yeah, Gail Simone is gold.
Yeah.
They need to do a Secret Six ongoing.
Oh, I agree with that. Definitely. Oh my god, I would love that, without a doubt. So, Dixon wrote it before Simone, right?
It was Dixon and then, like, this guest writer and then Simone. Just
okay.
To do fill-ins.
I got you. Okay. All right, cool. Maybe I'll give that a shot one of these. Just go back and read some of the earlier stuff. What are you looking forward to the most out of DC in 2007? The Brave and the Bold series from Wade and Perez. We didn't mention this, so I'm glad he did because, oh, damn, that is going to be such good stuff. You got Mark Wade, who's the DC Encyclopedia, and George Perez, who's the quintessential DC artist on the same book. How is that not going to be good?
Jorge Perez, beaches.
Buy my book, beaches. Yeah, but no, that'll be absolutely terrific stuff. And I mean, I'm sure that both you guys are anticipating Brave and the Bold as much, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Eh?
Yeah.
Eh?
It just doesn't seem like a necessary title.
I'm glad that you didn't leave me hanging on the air like you did on Superman Confidential number 1, at least.
Yeah, well, I was trying to hook you into bringing me in on that one, but oh well.
I see how it is.
That didn't work.
I see how it is.
Yeah, but Brave and the Bold, I guess I'll drop Superman Batman when this arc's over and give that a shot. Because Superman Batman's not necessary anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, it's been off for a while.
Well, Superman Batman was a Jeff Loeb book. Without Jeff Loeb there, there's no reason to pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Loeb's last run wasn't all that great either.
Yeah, but that was for understandable reasons, though.
No,
it was mine
elsewhere.
So.
The lateness didn't ruin it for me. If you read it back-to-back, it's still not that great.
Yeah, that's what did it for me.
Okay. I have been waiting and waiting for this book to come out all of this year. The end of 52 will be a big event for DC. Also reading Fables and Jack of Fables trades from Vertigo, I picked that up monthly. And Jack of Fables, especially the most recent issue, has been so great. Because we actually get the story of Jack Frost in Jack of Fables, this latest issue, and that is really, really great to actually finally get. So we get another one of Jack's incarnations, and that was one of the most ingenious ideas that Willingham brought in, that this one Jack was all of those Jacks we find in fairy tales. You know, it's just so interesting, and I'm glad that he really went with that. So
yeah, is he Jackass too?
Yeah, right. No, actually, surprisingly enough, he was not Jackass, but he might have been for all we know. Jack Frost, Jack and the Beanstalk, Jack and Jill, Jack Off.
The secret identity of Jack. In a world.
Samurai Jack, good stuff. Also to find out what new series come for 52. Will Batwoman get her own series? Renee Montoya? Ralph? Who else will get a series or miniseries from 52's Fallout? Actually, that's something I want to ask you guys quickly here. What do you think is going to, come out of 52? What series do you see definitely happening?
I definitely see, a Renee Montoya and a Question series. Mm-hmm. If the Question hasn't died yet, I'm not caught up on 52 because they're waiting for me back at school. But I'll get those next week. But I definitely see maybe, those two. And if Batwoman was in it. See, I could see, a detective series. Mm-hmm. We're having Renee Montoya, the Question, maybe Batwoman, and Ralph Dibny.
Okay.
Just as a detective agency in the DC universe, just solving mysteries, like the mystery team that we saw in 52 that got killed with Detective Champ. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a more productive series than giving everyone their own miniseries or whatnot.
I can see that. And actually, I'd like to give it a name like Gotham Knights, and always instead of spelling it, KN, just spell it, NI.
Or even
Knights.
Come up with an original name that hasn't been used yet.
Oh, come on. The Gotham Knights as in Knight hasn't been used before.
Like Nightwing, BK, with a K?
Yeah, exactly. No, without the K.
Oh, without the K.
Without the K, just Gotham Knights.
See, I think they needed just a different name.
Okay.
Like a something agency. Or the
Gotham Agency.
That could work.
Gotham Agency, there we go. That'll work. Perfect.
But I'd like to see something like that out of 52, not 100 different series.
agree with that, Raph? Or?
Yeah, we all know World War III is coming up. Mentioned JSA, so I'm looking forward to that. As for a new series, I think Batwoman probably isn't going to get her own series. She might appear in Birds of Prey and maybe a Batman book.
Okay.
Renee, I'm hoping she gets at least a miniseries.
Yeah.
And Ralph, I think he's going to bite the bullet. I don't know.
I kind of like the idea that Sean and Jim have been talking about, that Ralph might end up in the helmet.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because Wizard had to freaking spoil who Dr. Fate is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks, Wizard. You douchebags.
Yeah, it's like, wow. Why bother picking up the miniseries now?
Yeah.
Although I still will, because Detective Chimp's in it, so I'm picking it up.
Oh, yeah, and I'm a Zorial fan, so yeah, I'm definitely picking up some of those.
Mm. That was a great creation that Morrison did.
Yeah, Morrison's gold. Printing money.
Making copies. Yeah, I would like to see a Batwoman series, actually. Just Batwoman on herself. Have Renee be a character in it. So even, like, maybe... actually, you know what? Make it The Question and Batwoman in the same series. Because, you know, from the looks of things, chances are we're going to have a different question once this is all said and done. So I would not be surprised if Renee does pick up that mantle eventually and, you know, has a series with Batwoman. So I could see that. Ralph, yeah, probably going to bite the bullet. Would not be surprised.
Yeah.
Be cool if we had a detective book with Ralph, but I don't see it happening.
We'll see. Like, I can't see Batwoman carrying her own series just by herself.
Yeah, well, that's why I say, you know, throw Renee in there, and we'll definitely have a good book, so. Because Renee has so much power to her, so.
Yeah, and then you have, like, the good cop, bad cop thing going on, and the witty banter and shit like that.
And the lesbians. Yeah, afterwards.
Yeah.
Making out for half the issue, then fighting crime the other half the issue.
Anyway.
There goes our gender-free podcast.
Oh, yeah, no, that... There will be a lot of women that will be wanting my head after this.
Well, nut bunnies.
Of course, we're all guys, so what can you expect, ladies?
Yeah.
That's true.
Finally, on last week's show, I want to correct a mistake. The Thing is a great series in trade form, but it was Ms. Marvel that went down the tubes after her Civil War tie-in issues, and so I dropped the book after the last tie-in issue was released, but I may pick it up again in the future. Ha ha, beaches. I was right about that in the first place. God damn it. I knew he wasn't talking about The Thing. It didn't sound like Matthew, so ha 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 ha.
Can we make more Thing jokes? More thingies?
Go ahead.
Thingy jokes?
Yeah. I pulled my thing.
I don't have any more Thing jokes, though.
Well, then why...
That's the joke.
P.S. to DC. I want more Superman and Batman Chronicles, plus other Chronicle series from DC like Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, The Flash, JSA, and JLA, plus another Superman Man of Steel trade in 07, John Byrne Superman. Gonna have to have a lot of money to get all that, though.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's like, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's talking about 8 specific trades right there, at least 8, so that's like $160.
Yeah. So, I don't know about that. I mean, hey, Matthew, if you want to pick all that up, by all means, but I don't know if I really have the dough for that, so. Meanwhile, we got a post here from Nightwing BK, and I believe he has a silly voice prepared for us, so go ahead, Brent.
Okay, I posted this in case you guys recorded on Thursday, so because I've pretty much said all the stuff already, I'm just going to do it in a silly voice to keep it interesting. In case I don't make it on the show, what let me down this year? All-Star Batman and Jim Lee. At least he owned up to the delays being his fault, not Frank Miller's. And also Nightwing. Pre-One Year Later, it was okay. After One Year Later, it plunged into the depths of hell. I feel bad for Jason Todd because Bruce Jones did absolutely nothing to build the character. I'm glad to see him back in Judd winning Green Arrow. Hit the mark for me. The Batman and Superman One Year Later stories, face-to-face and up-and-up and away, were great stories that brought these two characters back to greatness. A kinder, more trusting Batman, and a more human Superman is what we need in the DC Universe. 52, hell yes, keep it coming. But I don't think we need another weekly series after this one. Maybe another 5 to 10 years. 2007, I'm looking forward to JLA and JSA. These two books are great. JLA's taking a long time to get up to snuff, but whenever it comes out, I can't resist from loving the way it is written. JSA, I read one issue, and I'm hooked and can't wait for the next one. Also, I'm looking forward to what Grant Morrison has planned next for Batman.
Thank you very much, Brett.
You're welcome.
All right. Woohoo! Yeah, well, I very much like that pause you had on the human Superman. That was very touching.
I think I had a hiccup or something.
It worked for it, though.
Yeah.
A more human Superman adds emphasis to it very nicely. But yeah, no, actually, about what you said about not having another 52 until, you know, 5 to 10 years, that sort of thing, like another weekly series, I kind of like to see what another year or two. That makes sense for me, but maybe not another 5 to 10.
I said 5 to 10 because comic book time is so much slower than real time.
Oh, I got you. Okay, so you actually want it to be another 20.
Well, yeah, but what about that Paul Dini weekly series they've been talking about?
Hmm. Yeah, but that's only in rumors, though.
Yeah.
It's not actually official yet.
Countdown to infinite countdowns to crisis. Yeah.
On Infinite Earths. Yeah. Infinite crisis, reality, warping, super ninjas.
More Ambush Bug. That's all I care about.
Exactly. Yeah, as long as Ambush Bug's in it, I'm happy. And Matthew Guy agrees with the fact that an event like 52 should be on a very limited basis, not every year. If you want me invested in the miniseries or regular series, then keep the special weekly series to a minimum and make sure the 52 series or miniseries from 52 have a special lower price than regular comics have. And I agree with that because, well, the less money I spend, the better. Make it like 4 cents. I'll be happy.
Yeah, and if you noticed when they announced the lower price for 52, that was $2.50. They raised everything else to $3.
And Brent with the steal. All right, now we're eating.
Cha-ching.
Bread for the win. This one's from Carlos Cordova. I'll keep it simple. Justice Society of America number one was a great issue and totally showing what a good, fun read a single issue can be and leave you wanting more at the same time. I thought the hardcover of Infinite Crisis made the series something the singles couldn't. A good story. I also thought the Batman offices did a great job. From the 1 year later face-to-face storyline to Paul Dini's detective, Batman spirit, anyone. Even the Grant Morrison's Batman was a good book for what he was trying to get across. I think 52 is doing a great job and has stayed on schedule, which nowadays is a great thing. And the stories, enveloping as well as Vertigo, as always had stellar books. Pride of Bad Dad, Why the Last Man, Ex Machina, good year for those. The bad, delays. From All-Star Batman to DC previews, pre-soliciting books months before the solicitation date. Bruce Jones on Nightwing, enough said. Mixed artist crisis. Even though they said it was planned that way, 52, as a way to get the book out on time, great. 1 month, great art. 1 month, lackluster, bad. Thanks for reading. Wish I had more time to get more in depth, but I'll stand by my short and sweet review, and that's Carlos Cordova, and I'm certainly nothing against a short, sweet review, because he definitely got the point across, and, you know, I do sort of hate when they, you know, release the previews long before they really should.
What do you mean?
Well, okay, see, what I hated about 1 year later, okay, the one thing I didn't like about 1 year later is that they really should have even, like, solicited any of those.
They should have done, like, Civil War's doing classified.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. The fact that we even saw covers, even though, you know, sure, stuff like Teen Titans had its silhouettes on it, which was good, but you shouldn't have even seen any information on them. Just go in, read it. If you like it, so be it. If not, then don't pick it up anymore. I would have been perfectly
fine. Well, the way, like, you know, they could have given the distributors or the shops, you know, like a real previews. But with all the people doing the online orders nowadays, I don't think they would have gotten the online orders. You know, everybody on the CGS forum says DCBS, but me and you and maybe Raph.
Yeah, I go to the shop and sometimes I do Comic Call, but that's about it.
I'll be there on Thursday. I'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah. Actually, no, today. It's 4:49.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. I'll be there today picking up my books, definitely at Midtown. So there we go with that. And also about the mixed artists on Crisis, I mean, it didn't really bother me that much, to tell you the truth. And that's why, actually, one of my bads for the year was the fact that they changed it so much in the frickin' hardcover. I mean, that was ridiculous, the changes they made to Infinite Crisis.
Yeah.
Come hardcover. You know, I mean, if you're going to do a story, do it right the first time. Don't change it in the hardcover, even if you messed up. It's ridiculous. I mean, come on. You're basically like, that's like when they change the songs on a DVD, you know, to save money and all that. This is almost as bad as that to me. You know, I'm not going to pick this up because it's not the story I read. So I'm not just going to pick it up to get changes.
I'm going to make someone get it for me for my birthday or something just to see what you guys are talking about.
When they announced it, they said Phil Jimenez is going to do more pages. So I took that as he's going to redo, like, the two Supermans punching Doomsday, which I think as a Phil Jimenez page would have been even better than what it was, whether it was but I don't think it was Perez. It looks like Jurgens or whoever was doing that, the Earth 2 stuff.
Yeah.
But
I think it was, Ordway.
Yeah, Ordway.
Yeah.
See, I think it would look better than Ordway just because Ordway has like a more old-style feel, I guess. But Yeah, I thought he was going to redo pages and stuff, and I'm glad they recolored that, you know, the red ink wash or whatever that they did, but the original pages that they added in was just like backs, you know, like the backs of people's heads and like faraway shots. So Phil Jimenez didn't have to do that much work for this, for those pages, other than the cover. I thought the cover to the hardcover was fantastic, but
I agree.
He didn't do much inside.
Yeah. But just in general, I mean, if you're going to change the art, that's one thing. I'm perfectly okay with that. If you're going to change the story, you're going to piss me off.
And you should offer it for lower than $25 or let us mail you our old issues or something, you know?
Oh, that would have been great. Yeah. I mean, had they been like, you know, mail in your old issues, get like a $5 discount even, you know, that would have been perfect for me. Or like a $10 discount, that would have been even better. But you get the idea. At least give us something for it. But they're definitely not going to do that. And I posted right after that about, you know, the delay and all that. So immediately after that, Brent posted, and he must do that in his silly voice.
Well, Ian's post says, we're not recording on Thursday. We're going to do it Monday, which turned out to be New Year's Day, which Ian forgot. So we did it on Tuesday, which ended up being 4 hours till 2:30 in the morning. And it's now Wednesday night. So I'll do it again. Listen to me, bitch, right?
On the next 24.
And I said, yeah, you do love me. Yeah, we're leaving Missouri this Thursday morning and should be settled back in Florida sometime on Friday. We drive. So Monday works great. I'll be more exciting on DC anyway. More of a DC guy to begin with.
Thank you very much, Brent. I feel so much better now. This one's from Jay Ferguson, otherwise known as Modern Lover on the forums. I think that DC has had an amazing year. Crisis was great, and though it may have had smaller goals than the original, it achieved them better. Late books, especially Wonder Woman, were a disappointment, but not too big a one. Team books were amazing, especially JLA, JSA, and Birds of Prey, having great dynamics and interesting stories that respect the team's history. Wolfman's Nightwing is really fun and has a lot of interesting mysteries going on. Trials of Shazam is, in my mind, one of the best books out right now, with great art, an engaging story, and a reimagining of the Marvel family mythos that brings it into the line with the tone of the DCU, but not in such a way that it damages the characters. I frankly think that, whatever the sales, DC is beating the pants off of Marvel in the department of making awesome comics. And that is, once again, Jay Ferguson. And he made an interesting point there about Trials of Shazam. It's damn good, I gotta say. I mean, I'm really enjoying that, specifically the art also. I mean, Howard Porter's been blowing me away on that, so.
Yeah, great art.
Yeah, and
great story.
And I hope he sticks with this style. I really do. I love this new art style that he's been doing.
Love it.
The world's different from JLA when you start with Grant Morrison.
It's not even worlds. It's like freaking dimensions different, man. Like, galaxies different. It's entirely different.
Yeah, they retconned his JLA art style.
Exactly. This is actually Earth 2 Howard Porter that's doing this now, just to let everybody know. So the Howard Porter that we knew and loved for a while is no longer exists. So just one of the
Peter Rios amalgamated him into the new Howard Porter.
Jeez. Jorge Perez. All right. But yeah, there we go. Those are the forum comments right there. And I think that we're pretty good. And I won't make Brent actually read his "I'll be around, damn empty vacation time" comment, because I just read it for him, so it's all good. So yeah, no, that's pretty much, you know, the wraps here, I believe, other than, you know, maybe some final comments on the year. So let's get your final comments on 2006 for DC, Mr. Raff.
I thought 2006 was a great year for DC. Infinite Crisis finishing off, that was a great series. 52 has been unbelievable. The 1 year later stuff, JLA, JSA, everything's been pretty good for them. I mean, even, you know, movies, cartoons, DVDs, they've been doing good this year. I mean, they may not beat Marvel in sales, but they've definitely beat Marvel in quality. Iron Man is a douche.
douchebag man. Coming soon to a theater near you.
So you think Iron Man's douchebag is made of iron?
Very possibly. It's very possible, but you never know.
That's not really a bag then, is it? Unless it's chainmail.
So, Brent, what did you think about DC in the year 2006 before I strangle you through the internet?
I'd like to see your hands coming out of my computer screen reaching for me.
That'd be pretty cool.
Didn't they do that in a movie?
Anyway,
moving on.
Yeah.
I certainly thought DC had a better year than Marvel in terms of, not in just delays, but I thought story-wise, a lot, well, if Civil War had ended, by now, then I might disagree. Because we would have gotten, like, seen some of the fallout from it.
Yeah.
But we had a large chunk of Infinite Crisis, and we had the entire One Year Later thing, and a lot of their books are just kicking ass right now, which you can't really say for Marvel, because they're all tied up in that big mess. Oh, what's it called? Civil War?
Yeah, I think so.
The CW.
Yeah. The CW network coming soon, man.
From Marvel Comics.
Oh, yeah. No, but I agree with that statement a lot. I mean, perhaps had everything been on time, and perhaps if we had gotten everything exactly the way that we were supposed to get it out of them, then I'd be singing a different tune right now. But my DC opinion for the year 2006 is it's damn good, and keep it coming for 2007, because it's going to be tough to really beat what you did in 2006 in the next upcoming year, but they could do it if they try hard enough. So.
Well, see, like Wizard, you know, they have their best of the year issue.
Yeah.
And this year they picked like Man of the Year was Joe Quesada or whatever. Everything was Marvel, all the big awards.
Yeah, of course.
Last year it was DC.
Yeah.
But I think they like every year though they get caught up in what's happening in comics right at that point.
Mm-hmm.
With those that I've been noticing, so like I don't think Wizard really looked at the entire year.
Yeah.
You know, in which we did and made our decisions.
Well, don't even get me started on Wizard. I could have an entire episode on how Wizard's gone downhill over the past couple of years, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Specifically with their most recent issues, I've just been, ugh. That new format they're doing where it's like that ginormous magazine, it's just really disturbing me.
It's easier to read on the shitter, that's for sure, though.
Whoa! TMI, buddy. TMI.
And when you're done,
oh, don't even go there, Raph. Don't even go there, Raph. I knew you were going to go there.
Oh. It is, though.
Oh, my God.
See, they cut out half the price guide, take out most of the good features, kiss Marvel and DC's ass, and that's it. That's Wizard.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? But I think we might actually have an episode on Wizard sometime in the future, so we'll get
good
more in-depth later on. But, yeah, no, in general, though, just... Period. DC did everything they set out to do this year. They made their entire universe a cohesive unit. They made Infinite Crisis work on pretty much every single cylinder. 52 has been lights out and on time every single week and consistently on time. So I'm happy about that. And the art for 52, I really haven't had a problem with it so far. So I'll be A-OK on that. And, hey, just keep putting quality stuff out there in 2007, and you're probably eventually going to be able to break that gap away from Marvel, and maybe you'll have, you know, the best comic book company out there. So who knows? Just time will tell. Time will tell. Sales-wise, of course, because in my opinion, they're already the best company out there for 2006, but you get the idea. So... There we go with that. And, yeah, I think that's, you know, pretty much all that we have to say here, except for, you know, the usual plugs and all that. So I guess I'll start off with the guest who's on the least. So, Raph, what you got upcoming that you want to tell us about?
Well, I've got a Bulleteer Madness in the pipeline. I've got to get my comics later today to do that. I've also got Chapter 2 of Crisis on Infinite Bullets on the way. And... in summer 2007, they unite.
In a world full of geeks, only one geek can unite them all.
The one geek.
Raphael Suhu is that geek.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for that. I might send some stuff, you know, online and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm anticipating that, and I'm sure you do a great job with it. But make sure to work me into Crisis on Infinite Bullets, by the way.
Yeah, just send me some details on your origin and stuff.
My name is Ian. I do a podcast. It's called Comic Timing. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah, you know, I am Leverstein.
Yeah, I am Leverstein. Thank you. Reminds me of that 90s Iron Man cartoon. I am Iron Man. Or Iron Douche.
Iron Douche. In a world. On Raw.
Brent, what you got upcoming on the pipeline, buddy?
Well, I'm on a Comic Timing episode. What is
29.
This one? 29.
Yeah.
I'm on episode 29.
Awesome. That's yeah. Good year, buddy. Yeah. Yeah. What about BK's Bullets?
BK's Bullets, by the time this one gets out, it'll probably be the newest episode of Raging Bullets, 39 or 38.
38.
38. Thank you for correcting me once again.
You're welcome.
So yeah, it'll be up on there. That's the it's mostly a best of 2006. It's a little different than what I just said this time. So you're getting some new material, or actually older. I didn't repeat myself.
Okay.
And then there's like a I have a 5-minute thing on Manhunter 26 tacked onto the end of that. And then I know I promised you, all my faithful listeners, a Superman audio comment about Kurt Busiek and Carlos Pacheco's run. But since the fourth issue hasn't come out yet, and it's coming out this week, I think, tomorrow, once that comes out, I'll do that. So that'll be the next BK's Bullets after that.
Awesome. Yeah, cool. And you're going to find that all at RagingBullets.com. Both Brent's audio comments and Raphael's lovely, lovely column can both be found at RagingBullets.com. So all good there. And not only can you find these two bozos, but you can also find me on the next Raging Bullets episode also. Myself and John Mayo are on episode 38 doing an audio comment about Manhunter. So if you're interested in that, listen to Raging Bullets episode 38. And if you're not interested in that, listen anyway. So there you go with that. And also, one more Raging Bullets announcement for the Batman Confidential number one, the part two of the crossover that we're doing, the Confidential crossover, and hopefully we'll have a special guest on that as well. And I'm sorry, Brent. I'm sorry that
it's not me.
You. I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Do you need a hanky? You want some chicken?
Do you want to hug Brent?
I just want to meet Sean. I just want to talk to him in real life.
Okay, now you're sounding like a stalker. You should probably stop that.
You're in the corner there, and you're like, hey Sean. Oh God, who is that? Where is he? Brent, is that you?
Yeah, Sean.
It's me. I've got a Hawkman costume on. Oh God.
Sean, can I have your autograph? Will you sweat on my T-shirt, please?
At this very moment, Sean Whalen stopped listening to Comic Timing. It's amazing. Like, you could track the second down.
And he's canceling my segment.
Yeah,
he's
right.
He's canceling my segment.
Oh God.
I'm sorry, folks. There'll be no more BK's Bullets after this best of 2006
one. Don't worry. Sean's a very forgiving man. I'm sure he'll understand your love for him, so.
I wouldn't say love.
Maybe. Oh.
Admiration.
Oh, okay, there you go. That works. We're kidding, Sean. Relax. All right. But, yeah, and this guy, Raph, he's going to be at New York Comic Con, right?
That's right, folks. New York Comic Con. See me there.
All right, and you're going to be, like, at the podcast arena and stuff all that. Right?
I will be shamelessly promoting Sean, Jim, Ian, the guys at Comic Geek Speak, and anybody else that will pay me. No, I do for free.
Oh,
damn,
really?
I do for free.
Oh, okay. Well, this is, of course, all taking place at New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has double the space with more gaming and anime for 2007. Come to the Jacob Javits Center February 23rd to 25th and experience the biggest pop culture event in New York City, featuring comics, anime, manga, graphic novels, video games, trading card games, RPG, MMOs, toys, movies, TV, celebrities, and more. Guests of honors include Stan Lee, Jeff Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, and George Perez, with many more to be announced. For a complete list of guests, as well as show information, please visit
NewYorkComicCon.com.
Buy your tickets online now to ensure your spot for the 2007 show. Tickets are available now at a discounted rate for advanced purchases at
NewYorkComicCon.com.
You can also book your travel arrangements online now on the travel page of the website. Don't miss out on the 2007
New York Comic Con.
Visit our website to get all the information you need. Brent, thank you for the assist, buddy.
No problem.
You go to Comic Con now.
Comic Con's in February, dude.
Go then, it doesn't matter.
Wait outside in line like stupid Star Wars fans forever.
I'm sorry, you're waiting for a fucking movie. You'll see
it. Alright, dude. Alright. Come on. You're gonna start losing like half my audience now, alright? So let's not make fun of the Star Wars fans, okay? Alright, please.
I'm biting my tongue.
Matt Damon. Yay. All right, before we degenerate into absolute lunacy here, I want to thank these two bozos once again for joining me. The second time I've called them bozos, but I only speak the truth. Raph, Brent, it's been a pleasure, guys, and definitely have you on again, except for maybe Brent.
It's really been weird.
Mine.
It's really been weird. I've had a sense of deja vu the entire time.
It's almost as if we've done this before, but I don't have any idea of, you know, why we would have that feeling whatsoever. But as a cat howls outside my window, which is very disturbing, so I guess it's a sign for me to actually end the show. So the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out those forums over at cgspodcast.com/forum, graciously hosted by the Comic Geeks Beat guys. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. The links are in the show notes, and there's a giant list of Podcast Alley links on the Comic Timing forums. Go check that out. And also, please dig us on dig.com. There's a list of dig sites you can go to on the Comic Timing forums as well. Also want to mention that Comic Timing was recently mentioned in a Chicagoist article, so if you want to check that out, go to chicagoist.com/archives/2006/12/28/keep_talk.php. You can find out all about the podcasts that are mentioned there on that article. And I want to thank Damian Smith of the Rogues Gallery for sending me a whole bunch of kick-ass stuff in the past week. He sent me the Doctor Who U.S. movie, the Gen 13 animated movie with Flea as one of the voices. I know I'm disturbed too. Battle Angel Alita, and also X-1999, both of which are manga. So I want to thank Damian for that, definitely. And also a friend of the show has a brand new podcast that I wanted to mention, and it's a guy who's actually sent us an email in the past, and it is Mike Turney. So if you want to find out about Mike Turney's podcast, you can go ahead and check out www.theactionroom.com for more information on that. And please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. That would be graciously appreciated. So once again, to Raph and to Brent, thank you very much for joining me for three straight days.
Oh boy.
Not a problem.
And as always, there's always time for comics. Okay, say the words Battle for Bloodhaven one more time.
Battle for Bloodhaven.
Battle for Bloodhaven, right?
Yeah, that one. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. One more time.
Battle for Bloodhaven.
There we go. Okay, great. Terrific.
Are you going to
play? Yes, I am, actually. I'm going to say it exactly like that.
My first title was Battle for Bloodhaven.
Yeah! Well, yeah, say it normally.
Guess you just cussed throughout the entire thing.
Fuck, 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 fuck.
I could hear that.
Shit, fuck.
That was good.
Motherfucker shit.
Ass, bitch, tits.
Yeah.
Tits and ass.
Tits and ass. TNA, TNA. Motherfucker shit, fuck. Ass cruncher. Donkey mule. Let's see.
Okay. I think I can hear it. Okay.
You don't have to say that, dude. You know it's not going to
be. Oh, good, great,
obvious.
Great. I can say whatever I want then, right? Iron Man is a douche.
Okay, that's going to the podcast. All right, here we go. And this one's from Carlos
Cordova.
I'm done. See, my favorite part is that I never actually had you.
Yeah, I just sent that to Raph. I was like, I'm going to put you on hold this code for. Shut up, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I was just waiting to see whether or not that would actually work. I've been wanting to try that this entire fucking time.
Well, if you put us on hold, you might lose Raph for a while once again.
Wow.
We're up. Put some 70s music in the background. Bow, chicka, bow, chicka, bow,
bow, bow, bow. Do you dig comics? Do you dig comic books? Do you dig Even Levinstein? Do you dig Comic Timing?
You just call me Even.
I said Even.
As in odd.
You said Even, dude. Dude, you said Even. You totally said Even.
Because he's not odd.
I'm not odd. I'm not strange in any way. Even Levis. That is my movie name right there. That works perfectly. Even Levinstein, secret agent. I'm not odd, but I'll kick your ass.
And now some classic timing, comic timing bloopers.
Oh, I said timing. That's a blooper in itself.
Yeah, I'll be pausing here for a minute as I actually look for it. I should have been prepared. That would have been nice.
preparation.
That's the magic of post-production.
You're damn right. This whole thing never happened.
Is it in brightest day and blackest night?
Yes, indeed. No evil shall escape my might. And that Green Lantern's light that seems to be coming in through the window right now makes a lot of sense.
See, you did it wrong. It's no evil shall escape my sight.
Ah, damn it. I always screw that up, too. Sight and might. Oh, God.
You can also book your travel arrangement. I can't get words out. Here we go. You can also book your travel arrangement. The word arrangement.
You can also book your travel
arrangement.
There you go.
You can also book your travel arrangement.
Are you going for a hanging? Are you being punished? Your travel arrangements?